This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
Oh, no, I get by with a little help from my friends.
Let's kick off the evening by lighting up.
Oi! For my friends.
The star of the show.
Oi! Oi!
I spoke to a radio broadcaster famous here in New York, WABC, Sid Rosenberg.
Oi!
This
Oi!
Is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
No, I get by with a little help from my friends.
77 WABC.
Explosive testimony during Donald Trump's hush money trial as former adult film star Stormy Daniels took the witness stand.
Daniels testified in graphic detail about her alleged sexual encounter with the former president nearly two decades ago, a tryst Trump vehemently denies. Daniels also testified about the $130,000 she was paid to keep quiet about the encounter. Trump visibly upset during the explicit testimony, his attorneys even calling for a mistrial.
KTLA's John Finoglio joins us live with details of what happened in court and what's next. John.
Sure, Micah, that's right. It was quite a day in the courtroom during former President Trump's criminal trial. Adult film star Stormy Daniels testifying for more than 4 hours. Her detailed story about meeting Mr. Trump in 2006 captivating the jury while moving the judge to shut down more graphic lines of questioning. And as you can imagine, Team Trump was livid as Daniels described her alleged affair before the court.
Adult film star Stormy Daniels taking the witness stand in the New York criminal hush money trial against former President Trump, detailing an alleged sexual encounter she claims they had at a 2006 celebrity golf event in Lake Tahoe. With Mr. Trump staring straight ahead and the jury captivated, Daniels describing how a bodyguard asked her to have dinner with Mr. Trump in his hotel suite. Daniels says she arrived to find him in silk or satin pajamas, adding she told him to change clothes, which he did. She says they talked in his room for 2 hours, and eventually she went to the restroom, saying, quote, "When I opened the bathroom door to come out, Mr. Trump was on the bed in his boxer shorts and t-shirt. I wasn't expecting someone to be there minus a lot of clothing. I felt the room spun in slow motion." Then saying, quote, "The next thing I know, I was on the bed. I had my clothes and my shoes off. I believe my bra was still on." Daniels testifying in explicit detail how they had sex and afterwards, quote, "It was really hard to get my shoes on. My hands were shaking." Adding, "I felt ashamed that I didn't stop it or say no." Mr. Trump, visibly uncomfortable, shifting in his chair and muttering profanity during the detailed testimony, even nudging his attorney, who repeatedly objected. At one point, Judge Juan Merchan interjecting, saying some of the details were, quote, "just unnecessary," while shutting down more graphic lines of questioning. Team Trump outraged, demanding a mistrial, which the judge denied. Daniels also describing the hush money payment she accepted just before the 2016 election, selling her story directly to Mr. Trump for $130,000, a deal brokered by then-Trump attorney Michael Cohen, a payoff that she says was her best option to keep herself safe without the story going public. Prosecutors allege Mr. Trump falsified business records to conceal the alleged affair to influence the election, charging him with 34 felony counts. Attorneys for Mr. Trump firing back during cross-examination, attempting to discredit Daniels by characterizing her as an unreliable narrator whose main motivation was money. Trump attorney Todd Blanche describing Daniels' sordid details as highly prejudicial, at one point saying to the judge, "This is the kind of testimony that makes it impossible to come back from. How can we come back from this in a way that's fair to President Trump?" Mr. Trump, who has been repeatedly fined for violating a gag order, making no mention of Daniels while addressing reporters after court.
"So with all that's going on, they have no case. Every single legal scholar that I see, I mean, maybe there's somebody out there, some whack job, but virtually everyone that I've seen has said there's absolutely no case. It's a case that shouldn't have been brought. The previous DA wouldn't bring it. Brand didn't want to bring it, and he brought it because I'm running in number one place. This all comes out of the White House and crooked Joe Biden. This comes from the White House, and it's all Biden because it's an attack on his political opponent. That hasn't happened in this country. It does happen in third world countries, but it hasn't happened in this country, and it's a shame. And the trial is a very unfair trial. It's a very, very unfair trial. The good news is they have nothing. Thank you."
President Donald Trump's classified documents case in Florida has been postponed indefinitely. You may remember that original trial date was set for May 20th. Judge Eileen Cannon, citing significant issues around classified evidence, says that would need to be worked out before the federal criminal case goes to a jury.
There was an anticipation this trial date was written in invisible ink in the first place. The prospect of a May trial seemed far-fetched because the docket is just saturated with legal challenges from the Trump team and these complex classified records issues that are unique to this case because it's about the alleged mishandling and exposure of America's classified secrets. What the judge has said here in this five-page ruling is there are these intertwined issues involving the legal challenges and the classified records issues that it's just not tenable to have a trial in May or to set a firm trial date at all right now, which raises the prospect, if not the likelihood, this trial would happen well after the 2024 election, which means if Donald Trump were to win, this trial might not happen at all.
The Jewish community wants you to know, I see your fear, your hurt, and your pain. Let me reassure you, as your president, you're not alone.
Lying scumbag.
You belong. You always have and you always will. And my commitment to the safety of the Jewish people, the security of Israel, and its right to exist as an independent Jewish state is ironclad, even when we disagree.
The U.S. has postponed delivery of some ammunition to Israel. One U.S. official says that holdup is to send a message to the Israeli government about the Biden administration's opposition to the operation in Rafah. It paused at least one shipment of aid to Israel, which is unprecedented.
It is. CBS News has learned per two U.S. officials that there was a shipment paused in recent days. One of those officials telling CBS News it was designed to send a message to the Israeli government about the Biden administration's concern with that ongoing military operation now into Rafah, a sign, again, of how the dynamic between the United States and Israel is changing. While the president and the prime minister may spend time on the phone together, that now actual military equipment may be slowed, at the least, has got to worry Israel and certainly its most ardent backers on Capitol Hill. But it's a sign, too, that the administration's trying to send signals, even if it's quietly, in that kind of a way, to Israel to say, don't do this, as we've been trying to tell you in all sorts of ways over the last several weeks.
When you leave your house every morning and strap that gun on and promise to protect my son and my daughter, you inspire me every day, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Now this inspires me too. New York City politicians demand Mayor Adams discipline NYPD Chief John Schell over dangerous tweets. Now, I'm tough on Adams, and I will continue to be, but in this case, I love the fact that the mayor was loyal to you because anybody that points out what a lowlife Tiffany Caban is, or AOC, deserves an award, not to be yelled at.
Look, I and our team, we're not going to sit back and listen to disingenuous people, whether it be the media, elected officials, or anybody else, talk trash about our police department, and when they do, be factually wrong. It's just not going to happen, and I'm not going to stop. And if I hurt their feelings, too bad.
Sent into the corner. Zibanejad and Burns held each other up. Sent it right out in front for a point-blank chance. They score! Vinen ran into Zibanejad. Kreider wound up with it. Panarin's shot blocked by Slavin. Follow-up is free. They score! Vincent Trocheck wins it in overtime for New York.
We'll be right back.
smashing pumpkins today at 6:12. Wake up, New York City. Back with you on a hump day Wednesday, a tunnel to towers Wednesday morning with your favorite show in New York City. We are Sid and Friends in the Morning, the self-proclaimed best talk show anywhere in the country, exclusively right here on Talk Radio 77 WABC. And there's a lot in that open, a lot to get to. Every day it's the same thing. It's a lot to get to. But, you couldn't see it because they're not televising what's happening in court, unfortunately. I mean, I used to watch all these trials. O.J. Simpson, I think I watched every second of it. Who's the young girl down in Florida who murdered her daughter? She got off because she ended up banging her attorney, and Nancy Grace talked about it every night. What was her name again? Noam, you know who I'm talking about.
The little girl. Yeah, I can see her.
She was kind of cute, I guess.
It's on Hulu. It's on Hulu. I don't know.
Yeah, what is her name? Either way, I'm fascinated by this stuff. You know, I watch these trials all the time, especially if it's a case that interests me or a name like O.J. Simpson. And I would have to imagine that if this was televised, this Donald Trump stuff, nobody would take their eyes off of it. Is it Kaylee something or other?
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Casey Anthony.
There we go.
Casey Anthony, thank you. And her daughter, her late daughter, God rest her little soul, her name was Kaylee. So we couldn't watch it, but of course, I read everything about it. And this filthy whore, this porn star, Stormy Daniels, that's right, I called her a filthy whore. Not every porn star is that. You know, to be honest, I've spent a lot of years defending porn stars.
Really?
Yes. I've met a few over the years. Used to be this, well, there still is. They do something called the Exotica Convention. Exotica with three X's. And what they do is they take, you know, a selected amount of porn stars all over the country. And they go to every major city, Miami, Chicago, New York, and they promote the industry. And when I was in Miami, that was a very, very big deal. Still is. So every year, they would actually spend money on the station. So Miami was a great place to work. You know, they didn't care. Right. Gambling, horse tracks, dog tracks, right. Porn. You spend money, you're in. And they would walk in with three or four of these porn stars. And a few of them kept coming back, including the one that ended up dating Charlie Sheen. Ah, now I forgot her name. Damn it. The blonde chick. She was in my studios like 10 times. And then one night I filled in for Pharrell on the Howard Stern channel, and she actually came on with me. I'm not going to say we were friendly, but we were. How was her name? The blonde one, very, very famous porn star, ended up dating Charlie Sheen anyway. Some of these girls are not the awful human beings people make them out to be. They're not. You know, and not every one of them also has been kidnapped and raped and is a product of, you know, what do you call that? Sex trafficking, you know. Some of these girls actually have made this decision to do it on their own. Either way, Stormy Daniels, the reason why I described her that way is she's a liar. She had sex with President Donald Trump. If she did, I know the president denies it, but if it did happen, she did it knowing there was going to be a payday. This idea that she couldn't put her shoes on because her hands were shaking and how all of a sudden, a lady who got paid to take her clothes off and have sex on camera, all of a sudden, she ends up in bed with just her bra on. I mean, there was nothing about her testimony yesterday that was at all credible. She came off like a lying, money-taking, gold-digging whore. That's my opinion. Any thoughts, Noam?
It was interesting to hear the judge right before the lunch break said, you know, you're giving way too much detail.
Yeah, even Judge Marchand told her to shut up.
Right.
He can't stand Trump, and he told her to shut up. It's enough already.
Yeah. He said, pare this story down. We don't need to know everything about it. Just give us the highlights.
So Susan Nicholas, who's one of Trump's great attorneys, along with Todd Blanche, she does the cross-examination, and she gets Stormy Daniels to admit that she hates Trump. Do you hate Trump? Yes, I do. Do you want him to go to jail if he's found guilty? Yes. Did you do this to make money? Well, you know, she didn't really say yes or no. I don't believe. She said, it's actually cost me a lot of money. Oh, please, give me a break. That's what this is all about. I mean, look, President Trump clearly didn't want any of this to get out. Maybe it was because he was nervous about Melania. That is a very legitimate concern, trust me, as a man married for 32 years. You can see that, right, Noam?
Of course.
Right.
Not in a million years would you want that story.
Right, of course. So on a personal level, he loves his wife, President Trump. He doesn't want to hurt her feelings. And, of course, he was also probably nervous. This is not a great story to come out as I'm running for president. So whatever his motivation was, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. He was the one who had more to lose, not her. So the idea that she had to collect $130,000 to protect herself from what? She's a porn star. What? Who's going to look down on Stormy Daniels if she had sex with a former president? If anything, that's good for her resume. She's a porn star. She gets paid to have sex. Stop it. This is ridiculous. This whole trial, witness after witness that sits there for the prosecution, whether it's David Pecker, whether it's Davidson, whether it's this Daniels lady, every one of them, in my opinion, has made a case that Trump is innocent. Because we are still yet to hear what the crime is. And by the way, Daniels is back again. More testimony coming up tomorrow, but we are still yet to hear a crime. You realize that, right? No?
You know, what is always amazing about these stories is she knew what she was getting into. She was, if it's true, the president had invited her up to have dinner.
Well, according to her, one of his security guards
right.
said, hey, the president wants to meet. It wasn't the president at the time, folks. This was 2006.
Right.
He was the host of
The Apprentice.
The Apprentice.
Yeah. So she, assuming that part of the story is true, that they got it on, she had to know when he invited her up, or his assistant invited her up, security guard, what was going to take place.
Of course.
Okay, so to then, suggest otherwise is just crazy.
She knew there was a payday coming. Yeah. That's the bottom line. I'm banging this guy. He's a TV star. He's worth millions and millions of dollars. Wasn't even president yet.
No.
I mean, that was 10 years before he came down the escalator, but he was already one of the most influential New Yorkers and people in the country, making millions and millions of dollars, a legitimate TV star, and she saw dollar signs. All of a sudden, having sex with somebody was so emotional for Stormy Daniels. It's a filthy animal, Stormy Daniels. Are you nuts? Put me on the damn stand. I'll tell the folks exactly what Stormy Daniels is. She deserves about as much sympathy as Hamas.
I keep going back to the fact that the president, whether you think there's a case here or not, he's benefited big time by the fact that they don't let cameras into the trial, because you're right. People don't like to read. Like, you'll read it, but most people will not read the documents in this case. Maybe they'll get some information from the news. But if this thing had been televised every eyeball on the planet would have been watching Stormy Daniels' testimony.
And it would have been embarrassing for President Trump.
It would have been terribly embarrassing. I would suggest most people don't even know what's going on. They've stopped paying attention already.
Maybe I should stop talking about it then.
Well, I do feel like you give it a life that maybe it wouldn't have otherwise, because, again, it's not the top story by any means. If you suggested, there's probably not much of a case here, if any. And
it is a top story, though. You've got the president of the United States
in unprecedented
fashion on trial, a criminal trial.
But
it is a top story, unless Iran attacks Israel or Israel wipes out 1,000 people in Rafah. It is a top story every day.
Yeah, we did, though, go 2 solid weeks without talking about it because of all the protests. We weren't talking about Trump much at all, and that case was going on. But then Stormy Daniels comes, of course. It's salacious. Whether it makes a difference to the jury or not, I don't know. But
well, that was the key. It was going to be two people. I mean, when Pecker was, I did talk about it, obviously, because President Trump, admittedly, is a friend of mine. I'm biased. But from a legal perspective, I bring on the best. Alan Dershowitz is coming on today. Joseph Tacopina, Arthur Idala, judges, all kinds of folks. And everyone has said this is the most ridiculous case they've ever witnessed. Dershowitz in 60 years. So I do talk about this case every day. But you're right. The protests had taken center stage. Pecker and Davidson lined up behind that. But the next two witnesses, Stormy Daniels on the stand yesterday and back tomorrow, and the other thieving, lying attorney, Michael Cohen, those two are going to grab the headlines every time they testify.
Well, that's right.
Let me hear from Will Scharf. He is one of Trump's attorneys there with Susan Nicholas and Todd Blanche. Here's what Scharf had to say on Fox News yesterday about how DA Alvin Bragg should be ashamed of himself. This is Will Scharf, cut number four.
Of all the outrageous conduct we've seen from the New York DA's office over the course of this case, whether it's clear discovery violations, games they played with pretrial motions and with jury selection, today has to take the cake. At the start of today, Judge Mershon set very serious guardrails around Stormy Daniels' testimony, and then the New York DA's office just ran absolutely roughshod over those guardrails. We think there were clear grounds for a mistrial. We're deeply disappointed that Judge Mershon did not grant our motion for a mistrial, and this is an issue that we're going to continue to raise, because the DA's office strategy here is to pollute the entire trial with irrelevant, highly prejudicial evidence that should have no place in this trial or, frankly, in any courtroom.
Now, my friend Roger Stone, he does a terrific show here every Sunday. He kind of echoed the same sentiments as Will Scharf. Diego in again for Lewis. Roger Stone, cut number five.
It's really quite extraordinary. Having been gagged myself by a judge unconstitutionally, I understand the incredible frustration that Donald Trump must feel this second being gagged regarding today's proceedings. The surprise testimony of Stormy Daniels was designed to humiliate and embarrass Trump. Previously, under oath and in writing, she had said the entire contrary to that which she testified to today. It was all prejudicial. All of the lurid sex stuff is designed to inflame the jury. She's not even central to D.A. Bragg's case.
That was from Katz and Cosby. In fact, the next two pieces I'm going to play are also from Katz and Cosby. This is Andy McCarthy talking about how Daniel's testimony, not just salacious, but irrelevant. Diego, this is cut number seven.
This is one of the most shameful things I've ever seen, because with Harvey Weinstein, at least they could make an argument that the propensity evidence that the judge let in was borderline permissible under, you know, New York evidentiary law. Here, the point of this prosecution is political, and we're talking about a business records falsification bunch of charges from 2017, and he let them put up a porn star to testify about salacious sexual details in, you know, I mean, this was in minute by minute detail of how it happened. Back in 2006, that's irrelevant to the charges of what happened in 2007.
One more, and he echoes the same thing, irrelevance. The great attorney Alan Dershowitz, who's going to join me coming up at 7:45 this morning, again on Katz and Cosby, pretty much saying the same thing as Andy McCarthy.
Defense lawyer does what every defense lawyer should do. It makes a pretrial or a pre-hearing motion saying we don't want this to come in, and we don't want the details to come in. And then they object to it, but they don't object every minute. They don't become, as the Second Circuit called them, chattering magpies, objecting at every point. Then this judge, unbelievably, says, "Well, you didn't object enough, so we're not gonna give you a mistrial." Why does the jury have to know what pajamas he was wearing and what Old Spice he was using? Why do we need that kind of detail and about his, you know, her allegations about sexual misconduct?
But there's nothing relevant, Alan. There's nothing relevant about anything she had to say.
That's right. She's utterly irrelevant.
She is utterly irrelevant. Clearly, she was looking for a payday. And clearly, Alvin Bragg looking for cred with the Democrat Party. Big, big show about to come your way. Dove Hykind, the King of the Jews, will join me coming up at 6:45. The great Curtis Sliwa, He'll be here at 7:15. The aforementioned terrific attorney, Alan Dershowitz. He's coming up at 7:45. Live in studio, one of my favorite people, one of the rebels alongside Curtis Sliwa on Staten Island, Scott Lobato. You may remember a couple of days ago, these animal protesters defaced a World War I memorial. Remember that? Well, he's going to do something about it. We'll talk to Scott Lobato live in studio coming up at 8:15. The great Peter King will be here at 8:45. Oh, Judge Jeanine Pirro coming up at 9:15 and making his debut on Sid and Friends in the Morning. Congressman out of Missouri, his name is Mark Alford. And yes, the House looking to pass legislation to defund some of these major universities. What a monster Wednesday show about to come your way. Keep it right here. Sid and Friends in the Morning.
Tonight, 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 tonight.
The Rush Hour with Bo Snerdly.
Eric Adams, so far, is a disaster. And New Yorkers are paying the price for it. Some of them with their lives.
Weekday afternoons at 4 after Rudy Giuliani. Unusual.
There have been people who claim that the U.S. government is hiding alien aircraft and in some cases even alien bodies.
Unbelievable.
We've had people who claim they were abducted multiple times. They're on a first-name basis with multiple alien species.
Untamed universe.
And the folks at the Pentagon are just as in the dark about this as we are.
It always seems impossible until it's proven true. The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano. Weeknights, all night long. 77 WABC. 77 WABC.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
No, I get by with a little help from my friends.
Capperty and the Beaver Brown Band, a.k.a. Eddie and the Cruisers. One of my favorite songs, Tender Years, 6:33 New York City on your Wednesday morning. Carly Shimkus checking in. She loves Dove Hiking. We love Carly. Yesterday was a gorgeous day. My tan is almost August. Almost. Got a good 3 hours out there, 80 and sunny. I think today we may hit 82 or 83, but not nearly as much sunshine. What do we got on store weather-wise today, Noam Layden?
You might actually get some sunshine this afternoon. You might be all right.
All right.
There's a chance of a thunderstorm, but there's also a chance this afternoon could be nice and sunny.
Good. I've got an event later on tonight in Red Hook, Brooklyn, at the Liberty Warehouse. My dear, dear friend of, my God, now 25 years. He was my intern way back when. When I came to New York in 2000 to host Sports Guys with Scott Kaplan on 102.7 WNEW-FM. Eventually, that show was me and Craig Carton. This guy actually split the wheat between me and Stern. He interned for me 2 days a week and interned for Gary Delabate on Stern Show 3 days a week. And I told you this story. It was my intern, and back then, you couldn't go on the internet and grab movie quotes. So every now and then when you're doing a radio talk show, you want to play a movie quote because maybe it's pertinent to the actual segment or whatever it may be. So you'd have to go to a video store. Back then it was VHS videos, and tape it and use it on the air. So I remember one afternoon, me and this guy, we were walking down Kings Highway in Brooklyn on the way to the video store, and I was renting about 10 movies to use the sound from me and Kaplan on Sports Guys. And he said to me, he goes, you know, he said, one day I'm going to run CBS. I'm going to run it. And I said, well, look, you're a young guy. He's like 18 years old, but based upon your work ethic and how smart you are already at the age of 18, I don't think that's crazy. Well, it turned out to be true. He ran CBS and all the major New York stations for many years. He then actually retired in his 30s. He retired, but they dragged him back, kind of like Al Pacino in Godfather 3, you know. But he made it very, very clear to the bosses at CBS that he would only come back if he was able to rehire Craig Carton at WFAN when Craig was done with his prison stay. And they allowed it. And true to his word, this man brought Craig Carton back to WFAN. Now Craig, of course, is making millions and millions of dollars. Good for him. Hosting a show on Fox Sports. This man's name is Chris Olivero. And everybody in the radio business knows him. Chad knows him. Chad loves him. In fact, I say all the time, the two best young radio talents in the country are Chad and Chris. So tonight, Severian High School in Brooklyn is going to honor my buddy Chris Olivero. And I'm going to be there. Because we did it all together. 25 years ago, my first shot at New York, ended up going to WFAN a year after that, and Chris was there for all of it, all the years down in Miami, all the issues. Chris always stuck by my side, always, and tried like heck to give me as many opportunities as possible. So him and Chad, to me, are both very special. So that's my night tonight. Noam Layden.
Sounds like a good night.
Right now, he oversees all the New York stations. WFAN, 1010 Winds, WCBS. They're all his. He's a big deal. And he's still a kid. He's a baby. I don't even think he's 40 yet.
So imagine what Justin's future might be.
Yeah, can't wait.
Well, Justin has never walked down the street with me and said to me, I'm going to run Red Apple Media.
No, I haven't said that.
Which probably, will never happen, I'm so probably, he shouldn't yeah. say it, right?
Probably not going to say it anytime soon either. Yeah,
zero chance. Mm. Not because he's not smart enough or capable. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, I don't want to.
Katz Matidi's family does a great job.
Well, I just, you know.
You don't want to anyway.
Yeah.
Too much pressure.
Right.
Yeah.
Plus, like, you know, I got to move to Israel within the next probably like 10 years. 10
you
got to
what?
Years. What?
What did you just say?
I don't know.
You're moving to Israel?
No, it's a running joke.
No, it's not. You're serious about that.
No, I'm not.
Don't forget, I was with you in Israel. In January and February.
Yeah.
It's ironic you're wearing your JNS.org sweatshirt today.
It's very ironic.
And you were like, you were so happy, man. And your aunt and uncle are lovely people, and you loved it. You had moved to Tel Aviv tomorrow. But so would I.
Yeah, well, of course.
You can't compare these two. In the middle of a war.
Right. I would be.
I mean, a terrorist can literally murder an innocent person at a bus stop 10 feet in front of me, and I would still feel safer walking around Tel Aviv than New York.
Yeah, just about.
But don't worry, because Eric Adams is going to Italy to figure out how to save New York.
Yeah. He's going to see the Pope.
The Pope is going to tell him how to Oh, by the way, New York doesn't need to be saved because it's already back, so.
Apparently.
Yeah.
That's what people are saying.
Sure, people are saying that.
There's like one or two people that tell you that every day.
Almost every day.
Yeah.
Yesterday we had two on this show, Arthur Idala and John Schell. Both guys I love, both guys I respect immensely. And both guys who sounded stupid when they made that remark.
Yeah.
Both of them.
And I think you made him sound a little stupid, too.
Yeah, it didn't help, did I?
No.
You know, Schell is in the news. You know, Curtis Sliwa. God, I love Curtis. Have I told you I love Curtis Sliwa?
Yes, yes.
So he texted me yesterday. So Schell was on with me in the morning. And it was a great interview. You played some in the open. It was great.
Hmm.
And we talked about how he calls out these Democrat officials. And he said, I'll do it again. I'm not going to stop. So long story short, Schell was supposed to speak
at some Republican event yesterday. Yes, I said Republican. God bless John Schell. But he canceled. So the contention from Curtis is, because he's a psycho, is that maybe he's right, who knows, that Mayor Adams heard the interview with me and Schell, heard how really unapologetic the chief of patrol, John Schell, was, and told him, you can't go tonight. I don't know if that's true or not. It's not out of the realm of possibility.
Oh, I think there's a good shot that is accurate. He may not have heard it firsthand, but he was definitely told about it.
Well, I mean, Fabian Levy, listen, they listen to me. They listen to me, and I know people get aggravated with me, even at this place. Oh, Sid, he thinks he's all this, he thinks he's all that. Listen, it's the truth. Get over it, okay? Stop being a baby. It is what it is. I mean, you know, we put on a really, really great show every day, and everyone listens. Don't get mad at me because I'm stating the truth. And they listen. City Hall listens. Fabian Levy, all of them. So whether Adams heard it or not, to your point, Noam, you're right, it gets back to him. So you think he did reach out to Schell?
Oh, it seems that way. Well, like a very last-second cancellation.
Isn't he packing for Italy?
That's true.
He had to go to Casa Cipriani, and he had to go to the Knick game two nights ago.
That's true. He's a very busy
Somebody
man.
Packs for him, I bet.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Was he at the Ranger game last night?
Don't know.
No, he doesn't like hockey.
I didn't see him there.
He doesn't like any sports, but he doesn't like hockey.
Yeah, that's
I mean, that was brutal last night. I had one eye open for, like, I don't know, till like 1 o'clock in the morning. I think I shut the TV off. It was like 1:30. I was up at 3. I'm getting text messages from Joe Tacopina when the game ended at exactly 12:26 a.m. when Trocheck scored the game-winning goal. So this was these games, they start, you know, close to 8 o'clock. Then you get an overtime game.
Yeah.
And now you're in big trouble.
No, I mean, I felt bad about it, but I went to bed after regulation.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was up, and then I was asleep. Then I was up, then I was asleep. But if you did miss it, this would be cut number 20. Then we'll talk to Dove Hyken about how everybody hates the Jews. Diego, this is cut number 20. Kreider again on the power play. And then a red-hot Trocheck, who I think has now scored in 6 consecutive playoff games. Make sure the Rangers go to Raleigh up 2-0.
Sent into the corner. Zibanejad and Burns held each other off. Centered right out in front for a point-blank chance. They score! Vinen ran into Zibanejad. Kreider wound up with it. Panarin's shot blocked by Slavin. Follow-up is free. They score! Vincent Trocheck wins it in overtime for New York.
There you have it, folks. Rangers up 2-0. Raleigh is next tomorrow night in the other Eastern Conference semis. Boston shocked the world, went to Florida, spanked the Panthers 5-1 two nights ago. Game 2 of that series comes up later on tonight, and my Knickerbockers are back on the court at Madison Square Garden tonight, up 1-0 on the Pacers. The Celtics made very, very easy work of Cleveland in their Game 1 series. Folks, it's time now for my weekly Tunnel to Towers update. My guy Frank Siller, the CEO, does an amazing job. Join the foundation this Friday as it celebrates Military Spouse Appreciation Day. This day honors and recognizes the sacrifices and contributions of military spouses who stand alongside their partners in service. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation understands the challenges faced by our nation's military spouses in good times and on their darkest days. The Foundation's Gold Star Family Home Program honors the legacy of America's fallen heroes by providing surviving spouses and their children with mortgage-free homes. One such family is that of United States Army Sergeant First Class Sean Robert Green. Green perished while on a life-saving mission to rescue a fellow team member in Papua New Guinea. He is survived by his beautiful wife, Jessica, and their son, Braden. Jessica remembers Sean as a loving husband and father who touched countless lives. She said she's forever grateful to Tunnel to Towers for providing her family with a mortgage-free home to raise their child. You can join Tunnel to Towers on their mission to provide forever homes for the families of America's heroes by visiting T2T.org and donating just $11 a month. 95 cents of every dollar donated goes directly to help families like the Greens. That's T2T.org. Donate today. Do good for America's heroes. All right, folks, never forget, join the Tunnel to Towers Foundation on its mission to do good in honor of America's heroes. Donate just $11 a month at T2T.org. That's T2T.org.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
Entertaining and informative.
Oh, you're my best friend.
77 WABC.
Bill Cosby is a former Democrat and the founder of Americans Against Antisemitism, and he joins me now. Dove, good morning to you. Incredible time for President Biden to be making this keynote address on antisemitism today. What would you like to hear from the president?
Well, I don't think I'm going to hear anything that I want to hear. The president is busy appeasement 2024, undermining Israel, holding Israel back, playing games, people in his administration, undermining the prime minister of Israel. The job could have been finished with the terrorists of Hamas, the Nazis of 2024. And the Biden administration is busy dealing with its election, in November. That's what this is all about. It's not about principle. It's not about doing the right thing. Whatever comes out of the White House in terms of anti-Semitism, it's just not to be believed and not real, and I don't accept it. I do not trust Biden. I do not trust his administration. He is busy placating the radicals in the Democratic Party like AOC, Tlaib, Omar, and the list goes on and on. That's what this is all about. It's about the betrayal of the Biden administration of the people of Israel.
Just a chance that maybe we'll find better days. 'Cause I don't need boxes wrapped in strings and designer love and empty things. Just a chance that maybe we'll find better days. So take the
Google Dolls, Better Days. Yes, tonight's the night the world begins again. My dear friend Dove hiking there with my friend Callie Shimkus, courtesy of Fox News. Dove and his beautiful wife, Shani, I love her too, about to honor me and Danielle coming up on June, well, it's either the 4th or the 14th. I forget, doesn't matter, because as we get closer, we'll give you all those details. A very exciting night coming up with the Hikens. But there was Dove. I'm very proud of Dove Hiken. You know, he was a Democrat his whole life. His whole life. And only recently did he switch to a Republican. He actually made the switch like Tulsi Gabbard did. And he is calling out Biden and all these other Democrats for what they are. Now, I haven't heard Shani yet. I'm waiting for Shani to tell me I was right about Donald Trump. We'll get to that later. But at least I'll take the calling out of Biden at this point. He's one of my dearest friends. I call him the king of all Jews, the great Dove Hiken. Good morning, Dove.
Sid, it's great to be with you. And it is the 4th of June, and I'm looking at a picture of you and your beautiful wife, Danielle, and very, very excited, and people are excited, again, recognizing what you and Danielle, that's your partner, and she's there with you as you do what you do, being a proud Jew, unafraid tough, strong, and I got to tell you, Sid, and again, wherever I go, part of that conversation is always about, oh, Sid, I hear you on Sid. He's amazing. He's unreal. There's no one like him. And it's true. There, during these difficult times, I mean, most Americans support Israel, no question. But there are very few leaders, the ones in the front, not the ones checking to see the, you know, the way the wind is blowing, doing the right thing. And Sid, you've been that way all your life. And now during one of the most difficult times for the people of Israel, for the Jewish people and people who love, who understand our great democracy in the Middle East, Israel, you've been in the front lines. You've been there, not afraid. And God bless you.
Well, I learned from the best. You know, people talk about my radio acumen and working alongside on and off with Don Imus for 18 years and Stern and Mike and the Mad Dog. I mean, I was basically growing up around legends in this business. So I give those guys a lot of credit. And in what you're talking about right now, I give you the credit because there I was outside the New York Times building years and years ago when they ran that awful cartoon with Netanyahu and Trump. There I was outside the public library another day where the Jewish people, this is way before October the 7th, where the Jewish people were being victimized. And there you were at the very forefront. You've been doing this for 50, 60 years. You've been arrested. You've been out there as a true warrior for the Jewish people. So all these nice things you're saying about me, I love it and thank you very much. But the truth is, you're the guy. You're the one. I learned from the best, Dove Hykind. I learned from you.
Thank you, Sid. You're very, very kind. But the Biden administration, the president talking about Holocaust remembrance, how he feels our pain. He feels our pain. And while he's feeling our pain, he's holding up shipments of arms to Israel, treating our ally like some school child. We gotta be careful with Israel. They may misuse the arms that we're sending them. How disgraceful, how embarrassing. I mean, this is literally has just about never happened before, and during a war that is going on. I mean, war is not pretty, Sid. You know that. In war, things happen. Innocent people die. That is, you know, that's what war is, especially when your enemy hides behind civilians. And for the United States to be holding up shipments of certain arms to Israel, for Biden to talk about he feels my pain, well, I do not trust him. Words are cheap. Action speaks much louder. And unfortunately, it's all about November. It's not about principles. It's not about doing the right thing, because if he was going to do the right thing, he would permit Israel to destroy Hamas now, yesterday. This war could have been over with and finished. There wouldn't have been any demonstrations on college campuses because the war would have been finished. Instead, it's being prolonged. And I blame Biden for that. Him personally, he is responsible.
Oh, I agree. And you know that no one has been tougher on Biden than me. I mean, from the very beginning, the first day it came on the air, Monday, October the 9th, you know this, Dove, I said, hold on a second, because a lot of Jewish people, a lot of your friends were telling me that Joe Biden is pro-Israel. I said, wait a second. He's been involved now in two administrations dating back to his days with Obama that are trying to make friends with Iran. You cannot be pro-Israel and be pro-Iran at the same time. So he's always been no good. Even Menachem Begin couldn't stand Joe Biden. I mean, come on, let's be honest here. So now that he's doing this and not delivering arms to Israel, you know, I spoke to Caroline Glick the other day at JNS in Jerusalem, and I said, hey, how big of an issue is this? In other words, Israel's fighting a war in the south, in Rafah. They're still holding up all that rocket fire from Hezbollah in the north from Lebanon. They're still fighting, which very few people know, in Judea and Samaria every day. That's a lot going on in a country the size of New Jersey. Can they do this without the help of the United States? And she said to me, and I quote, we'll manage.
Right, right, Sid. There's no choice. If you want to survive, you will manage and you will do what you need to do. And that's what the prime minister of Israel will do. But it's not a pleasant thing to watch Biden really betray Israel. I don't use those words lightly. I mean, this is a betrayal. You know, he can say how he feels our pain, Sid. He feels your pain, Sid, and my pain. And the Jewish people, he understands October 7th. But it is the actions of his administration. It is what it took him a freaking 2 weeks to speak out about what's going on college campuses.
Forget about speaking out.
Wait,
forget about speaking out, Dov. I can tell you that on the first day of Pesach, that Monday morning, where was I? I was at Columbia University alongside Long Island Congressman Anthony D'Esposito, Rockland County Congressman Mike Lawler, Nassau County Executive Bruce Blakeman, actor Michael Rappaport. That Monday morning, the first day of Pesach, I was at Columbia. The President of the United States has not gone to one, not one of these campuses. And by the way, the mayor of New York City, for all of his Jewish talk, he never went to Columbia once either, not once. So all these Democrats that cry and, oh, my God, I love the Jews, they're all full of it. Because like you said, their actions don't say it. Trump's actions, that said it. These guys, I don't see it.
Yeah. You know, it sort of reminds me, Sid, of during the Holocaust with Franklin D. Roosevelt. Jews loved Roosevelt more than any other president. They just adored him, all Jews. Well, now we know the history and how he betrayed the Jewish people. And he talked the talk. He talked about how much he cared. He met, you know, you bring the Jewish leaders to the White House, they kiss and they hug. And you know what? While Jews are being murdered, while Jews die, while the Holocaust was going on and the Roosevelt administration was doing everything possible to close the doors of America to Jews who were fleeing for their life, not doing anything to help during the Holocaust. Right now, Biden, you know, words, you know, sweet words, nice words, and you have all those Jewish leaders. You know, I've been invited to the White House. Either I would not have gone, but if I would have been there, I would have confronted the President of the United States to his face that what he is saying is just not true.
Right, like I did at the State of the Union when he actually quoted the Hamas Health Ministry as a credible source of 30,000 deaths, which is complete nonsense. And I'll tell you one more story, Dove. I got a message the other day from a lady in New Jersey, and she's really upset. She's hysterical. This was Sunday. She said, you know, I can't go to my shul anymore because my rabbi in a very nice town in New Jersey, my rabbi hates Donald Trump. He loves Joe Biden, and all his sermons talk about Biden. In fact, in his last sermon, the rabbi said, and I quote, I would vote for Biden on a ventilator before I'd vote for the other guy. The other guy who, by the way, moved the embassy to Jerusalem, recognized the Golan Heights as a part of Israel, stopped sending Palestinians and Hamas cash, did the Abraham Accords, that guy. So I said to the lady, I said, don't go back. So I contacted my first cousin, Norm Coleman, yesterday. He's in Israel. He's on his way to Dubai. And I said, listen, he heads the RJC. You know what that is, Republican Jewish Coalition. Yes. I said, I want you to find all these shuls in New York and New Jersey, all of them, that have these liberal rabbis that are pumping up Biden and saying bad things about Trump. And I want to speak at every one of these shuls to the Jewish congregation and explain to them why they're being duped and they're being idiots when it comes to these elections. And right now, the RJC is working on that because, Dove, we need to get the word out. Sometimes our own people are our worst enemy. They keep voting Democrat. They're killing us.
Sid, I truly believe there's going to be a change. I'm not going to tell you it's going to be a majority of Jews, but I think we will see that in this next election in November, that more Jews will vote for the Republican. They will not be there for Joe Biden. Look, there's a Reform rabbi from the Stephen Weiss Synagogue just recently, shocking, the Stephen Weiss Synagogue, who spoke to his congregation on a Friday night telling them, expressing similar sentiment that you and I are expressing right now. This was the rabbi of the Stephen Weiss Synagogue, talking, saying that the Biden administration is worried about Michigan. Well, they should start worrying about us. That was an amazing thing. And more people out there, we'll see. And there's a lot of work to be done. You know, I tell people, look, whatever reservation you may have about Trump, you have no choice but to vote for him. There is no choice. If you care about the well-being of the Jewish people and the state of Israel, then you have no choice. There is no, you don't have to think about it. As you said, and I have said, there, Trump was the best president for Israel ever. By the way, no one is in second place. That's how good he was, based on his record. Record, remember, forget about words. Record, what did he do? What did he not do? He was absolutely amazing. And now you have the Biden administration and all the leftists and crazies, members of Congress, openly saying the most horrible things about Israel, members of the Senate from the Democratic Party. So I say to Democrats, I'm speaking to Democrats out there, you know, you gotta, you don't want to become a Republican. That's fine. That's your business. But in 2024, you have to send a powerful message that the Democratic Party of today is not the party you signed up for.
That's a perfect way to end this. You're exactly right. In fact, they're the party of anti-Semitism and hate. You, Dov Hikind, are a living legend, and I love you. And Danielle and I are both very excited about June the 4th and spending that day with you and Shani. And once again, thank you for honoring us. I have no idea why, if you and I are in the same house, you'd be honoring me and not you. But,
oh, come on.
But I love you.
Come on.
I mean it.
Please, come on. This is for Israel, for Jerusalem. And you are the star, and you know, Sid, you know, it's you what you've done, and you've been an example to people. You have to understand it's not just about what you're doing and the example that you are to your kids and to your family. It's that you're turning other people on. People are using you as an example, the ultimate example of someone who loves the state of Israel, the people of Israel. If you love the people of Israel, then you act like Sid Rosenberg.
Dov Hikind, I love you. Thank you so much. What a great appearance. Really, thank you, thank you, thank you. We'll do it again
all
very
the best,
soon.
Sid. Love
all
you.
Right, my man Dov Hikind. And a quick shout out to my buddy Matt Conklin. Matt, just so you know, my daughter's name is Ava too. Ava Conklin, forever in our hearts.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
No, I get by with a little help from my friends.
Let's kick off the evening by lighting up, oi!
From my friends.
The star of the show, oi! Oi!
I spoke to a radio broadcaster famous here in New York, WABC, Sid Rosenberg.
Oi!
This
oi!
Is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
No, I get by with a little help. My friends.
77 WABC.
Adams is leaving for Rome on Thursday, and he'll take part in what's called the World Meeting on Human Fraternity. The goal of this conference is to foster better understanding of major issues impacting the world. Politicians, doctors, scientists, and others will be attending. Mayor Adams will be meeting with the leader of the Catholic Church on the sidelines of this conference. Adams is not Catholic, but has portrayed himself as religious and values prayer. Adams returns to New York City on Monday.
This is a very special moment for me as being a Christian. I think that His Holiness has a role right now as we all are trying to deal with the global conflicts.
I was young, I knew everything. She, a punk who rarely ever took advice. Now I'm guilt-stricken, sobbing with my head on the floor. Stopping baby's breath and a shoe full of rice. No, can't be held responsible. She was touching her face. Held responsible. She fell in love in the front.
first place.
Verpipe, the freshman at 7:15 here on your Tunnel to Towers Hump Day Wednesday morning. Talking about Hump Day, Alan Dershowitz will join me in about 30 minutes talking about Hump, that filthy porn star Stormy Daniels. And I don't dislike porn stars. I actually think that people shouldn't talk badly about porn stars. I know some of them personally. They're nice women. They really are. But this one specifically is a whore. And what she did yesterday was grotesque. And she's doing it again tomorrow. We'll get to that with Dershowitz coming up at 7:45. But right now, of course, is the man. I know Mark Levin is the great one. I was on with Mark on his great show Friday night. But Curtis is the great one, too. Rip and Reed, noon to 1 every weekday afternoon. He gets huge ratings. Of course, overnight weekends and with me this time every morning. And you heard that little piece there, then you heard from the mayor himself, Mayor Eric Adams. And I guess things are going so well in New York City. They're going so well that why not take a nice little paid trip to Italy to hang out with the Pope? Why not? It's not like we've got, oh, I don't know, protesters terrorizing people. And that's the right word, terrorizing people in the streets of New York. Crime, although down, still way too high. Subway still a mess. Homeless, illegals. Not like all that is going on. So I couldn't think of a better time for Mayor Adams to go to Italy than now. Can you, Curtis?
Let me tell you, the other night, what was it, 2 o'clock in the morning to the break of dawn, he was at Casa Cipriani's.
That was right after he was sitting courtside at the Knicks-Pacers playoff game.
That's right, popping those champagne corks. And it was the perfect place before heading off to Italy because you expect me to say the things that nobody else will say because they won't dare. They won't dare. Perfect place, Casa Cipriani's, because the patriarch, I don't even know if they let him back into this country anymore, Harry Cipriani's, who said, the world's got to know I'm not a crook. It's where people go, the Vatican, who want to avoid taxes from all over the world because they go to the Institute for the Works of Religion, better known as the Vatican Bank. And because Justin Ellick is dutifully going to Italy and to Rome, right?
He is going to Italy. I'm not sure he's going to Rome. I don't believe his itinerary includes a meetup with Mayor Eric Adams, but you never know.
All right. So, Justin, I want you tonight to be watching Godfather 3, the worst of the trilogy.
So bad.
But
yeah,
it was about the Vatican Bank.
I remember it well.
God's bankers. The church used a religious loophole years ago to make billions by laundering money for the rich around the world and the mafia. And that's why when they say you shelter money offshore so you don't have to pay your taxes, where do they all go? They go to the Vatican Bank.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Hey, why don't we talk to Harry Cipriani, right, wherever he is now. I don't think he's allowed back into the country. So talk to his son, Giuseppe, because you're one of the guests there at Casa Cipriani's.
Well, I do
you know
go.
Them all, right?
I don't know any of those people, of course. I go with Keith Kantrowitz and Anthony Carone. These are all my dear friends. Hey, I love these people, but I don't know who the Cipriani's are.
I know, but you grew up, you knew the Gambinos, right?
Yes, I okay. still do.
All right, so there's synergy there, okay, Sid?
Yeah.
Do I need to connect all the dots?
No,
you?
I mean, you of all people should be happy I know those people because I've kept you alive
that
the
is
last
true.
5 years.
And I'm sure you've had sit-downs at Casa Cipriani where they wanted to put a bullet in my head. Thank you, Sid. I want to thank you. But 5 days in Rome? 5 days in Rome?
For what? I understand he explained it there. I'm a Christian, whatever that Focaccia group is. But on a very, very serious note,
yes.
Let's just say we didn't feel anything towards Adams. And at this point, you and I are biased because we actually watch what's going on. And I don't even dislike him personally. You do. I don't. But he is a crappy mayor. Let's say we had no opinion whatsoever. And Adams came on the news tonight and tried to explain why, when New York is in a free fall, he's going to Italy for 5 days. What would his explanation be?
Well, probably because the Holy See will sit him down in the one-on-one meeting and say, I want to thank you for allowing all of my people, the illegal aliens, flooding across the border because of the generosity of Catholic Charities with tax dollars, federal tax dollars, who actually not only encourage the illegal aliens to come in, but you have been so nice to roll out the red carpet for them and provide them with all the amenities. We're going to schedule you, Eric Adams, for beatification. Saint Eric Adams.
What?
Oh, the Catholic.
No, he's not.
Trust me, the Catholic Church loves illegal aliens. They embrace.
I know, but well, hold on. You know,
hug and kiss an illegal alien today, courtesy of the Pope.
It's funny you say that. So last week I had to stay here very, very late because I was meeting President Trump, as you know, at the firehouse.
Yes.
So I had to stay here till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So I stood, I stuck around in the green room and I listened to Greg Kelly's show. And Greg and I have gotten to be pretty good friends over the last couple of months. We've had our moments, certainly. But now, as of right now, he and I are becoming good friends. And I'm about to honor his father, the great Ray Kelly, in a couple of weeks. Some lady called in and was saying that the Catholic Church is, like you're saying right now, is after the illegals and blah, blah, blah. And Greg Kelly went nuts on this lady. He went nuts. He said, says who, to quote Sid Rosenberg.
Okay, I'll tell you what then. Let's set up a sit down, me and Greg Kelly.
Well, what would you say to Kelly if he said, hey, Curtis, enough bashing the church already. What proof do you have?
A ton of proof. A ton of proof.
Oh, you can't say a ton of proof and give
Monsignor
me nothing.
Sullivan, Monsignor Sullivan of New York's Catholic Charities, who said, we've met with Catholic Charities in South America, Central America, the Caribbean, to provide a place where people who are indigent and poor can come so that they can make money and support their families. Nothing about asylum seekers. Oh, they're escaping because people are threatening them. It's a despotic regime. They're gay and lesbian. None of that. It's to make money and fill the churches in every parish because in an English mass, you can roll a Brunswick bowling ball through and not hit anybody. But the Spanish mass and the Creole mass for the Haitians, packed to the rafters.
So are you saying then?
Yes.
And I'm doing this purposely to really fire up Kelly because I want the two of you to kill each other. Are you saying then that Cardinal Dolan is on the table?
Of course!
Oh, my God.
The Pope, the Cardinals, the Bishops. Meantime, what are they doing? They're closing Catholic schools. Every year they close Catholic schools of the children who support the church, who put the money in the wicker baskets. They turn their back on their parishioners to welcome in people we don't even know. And it's Catholic Charities that meets them at the border. I defy anybody from Catholic Charities to tell me that's not the case.
What happened to you? Was it a, you were an altar boy? Or what happened? You seem to have this big heart on, excuse me, for the church.
I would never become an altar boy. I ain't gonna get
perked. You're too old for that now, but did something happen to you 40 years ago?
We knew. I became a choir boy. The nuns took care of the choir. We all knew, don't become an altar boy because, you know, Father Giuseppe might end up perving you. We knew that back then in the 60s. Look, the church is bankrupt. The archdiocese, the diocese, they're declaring bankruptcy because they've covered up all these perv priests over the years.
So in the end, because I want to move on to John Schell, you're telling me that this trip, Mayor Eric Adams, going to Italy, is not about Jesus Christ, it's not about the Pope, it's not about any of that. It is, and we always say follow the trail, about money.
Follow the money.
Oh,
by the way, who is accompanying him?
On the trip?
Yeah.
This is a very good question.
Frank Caron.
Okay.
That's he's raising money for his legal defense fund and for his
Frank is a good friend of mine, too.
Campaign. Well, isn't that amazing that that's the one guy?
That's his guy. That's his advisor.
Okay, and by the way.
Yeah, I love Frank,
by the way. In advance of that, all of a sudden, Eric Adams suddenly loves America. He's suddenly embracing himself in the American flag.
Well, it's funny you say that he loves America because a friend of yours, one of your own rebels, you, John Tobacco, Scott Lobato, the three men that saved Staten Island and were well on their way to saving Brooklyn and Queens until Joanne Arriola effed it up. Scott Lobato is going to be live in this studio in 40 minutes. because he's so disgusted that the mayor did and said nothing about these animal pro-Palestinians desecrating a World War One memorial, that he's going to do something about it. Scott Lobato, a great American,
yes,
going to do something about it,
yes,
while Eric Adams is drinking wine in Rome.
Right, well, but Eric Adams yesterday with the alligator arms, because no politician ever spends their own money, said, I'm putting a $5,000 up towards a reward to catch these anarchists who desecrated the statue. That's good. But the point is, even if they get arrested,
be right out.
They're going to be let out
10 minutes later.
Name and shame, Alvin Bragg. Do you know that since the first demonstrations, October 8th, the day after Hamas killed, slaughtered, raped, took hostage Israelis, that nobody has gone to jail? Nobody has been remanded to jail. Nobody has had to put up any bail.
People have gone to jail. No one's gone to prison.
No, no.
They're out in like 5 minutes.
You remanded to jail, no bail, or remanded to jail with bail. Nobody has been put into that position.
Not one person.
Not one.
Jesus.
And actually, that's an encouragement to come out and do more.
Of course, please. So I had some of that discussion with the chief of patrol. Now, I like this guy a lot.
Before we get to that, let me make mention to all of you out there, as you see that Eric Adams is now covered in the red, white, and blue, right? All of a sudden, he's discovered America. Samuel Johnson, who actually created our first dictionary, said that patriotism is the last refuge for a scoundrel. When cornered, a scoundrel will try to justify his behavior with excuse number one. When that doesn't work, excuse number two. When he runs out of excuses, he will at last resort to patriotism. I did it because I love my country. Eric Adams is not alone. History is filled with all these folks who discover patriotism as their last refuge.
Love it. All right. Now, Shell stops by yesterday, the chief of patrol. He just actually made a comparison between Adams and Johnson. He stopped by yesterday because there was a big story that the mayor, Adams, which was good, he decided not to beat up John Shell, because Shell goes on Twitter and other social media spots, and he does the right thing, which is call out lowlives like Tiffany Caban, who hate the cops, lowlives like AOC. To me, that's heroic work out of John Shell. Certainly nothing needs to be yelled at for that, but let me just play this first. This is Shell on the show yesterday when I said, hey, John, I'm glad the mayor is not scolding you. What you're doing is right.
Well, look, I and our team, we're not going to sit back and listen to disingenuous people, whether it be the media, elected officials, or anybody else, talk trash about our police department. And when they do, be factually wrong. It's just not going to happen, and I'm not going to stop. And if I hurt their feelings, too bad.
He's not going to stop. Well, guess what? Everybody listens to you, Sid, in the morning, friends and foes. Everybody at City Hall, even the mayor. I know that for a fact. And yesterday, once he finished his interview, all hell broke loose. He was scheduled tonight to be at Vicky Paladino's great Whitestone Republican Club, the largest, the biggest in New York State, at the American Legion Post.
Oh, that was tonight, not last night.
Well, let's see. Today is Wednesday.
Okay.
Should have been
tonight.
So it's
tonight. Okay. Yeah. Right.
Advertised. Everybody knew in advance. Cops go to Democratic meetings all the time. All the time. They never get their tail pulled. Well, yesterday, after he finished your interview with you, and he said, nobody's going to stop me, the real mayor of New York City, Adrian Adams, because Eric Adams, he's her Maytag. He never names him Shane.
He is.
They both went to Bayside High School
same
year.
Nauseating. She kicks his ass every day.
Every
and he goes,
time.
This is my sister from another mother. If you know who she is, folks, she's the head of the city council.
Yeah, she's the speaker of the city council.
Yes.
She calls all the shots in the city. Have you ever heard Eric Adams name and shame her?
I've never heard Eric Adams name and shame Joe Biden, Kathy Hochul, Andrea Stewart-Cousins, Carl Hastie, Adrian Adams, Justin Brannon, any of them. That's an issue.
Of course. Of course. So Adrian Adams goes nuts because her staff listens to you and said, that guy ain't going to that meeting. I see the flyer. You better pull his tail. And what did Eric Adams do? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. No, look, I don't want to get you angry.
Oh, this is a very powerful statement you're making. Yeah. I appreciate the fact, and you say this all the time, everyone listens to me. People get annoyed when we say that. Even people here, but it's tough. That's the truth.
Everybody.
But, yes, thank you. So I do appreciate that. But can you prove that it was the interview with me, that, and not the fact that it's going to a Republican event that got John Schell pulled?
What is the last public event that he did before they pulled his tail on this?
What was?
Your interview.
My interview, yes.
He's been quiet ever since.
Very quiet. Now, he did text me a picture of his dogs.
That
was kind of nice.
That's good.
I like his dogs.
But remember, the word came from Adrian Adams, who's the real mayor of the city. She's the shot caller. And she said to Eric, he ain't going to Vicky Palladino's Republican meeting in Whitestone. Now, if Adrian Adams had invited him, right, to her Democratic Party.
He'd be there.
Oh, they're always there. This is ridiculous. I've never heard of this before. Cops go to political meetings all the time.
What's their excuse for him not being able to go? What are they saying?
Well, because he is going to attack the demonstrators, none of whom have ended up doing any jail time. You know, the very people who every day, last night at the Fashion Institute of Technology, were singing, Intifada, Intifada, from the river to the sea, let's annihilate every Jew we see. Right? He was going to attack them. Oh, no, you can't. You can't. That's too political. Too political?
What?
People who hate America, people who are bound to attack Jews. Again, if these were Klansmen, if these were people who hated gays and lesbians, you think Adrian Adams would say, I don't want Chief Schell speaking out against this?
No way. And do you think Mayor Eric Adams would have waited 13 days for Shafiq to finally call him from Columbia? The answer is no way. They're all being exposed as hypocrites and liars.
But you got to understand the strategy here. Eric Adams never names and shames. He's got no balls, right? He doesn't want to confront these people. So now he has the shield of all these top-level cops who are now texting. They're on their own social networking. It's mostly Schell and Dauchi, right? They're the ones.
But Kemper does it, too.
Right, but they go on the attack. You never hear Eric Adams go on the attack. So they are his shield. So when the heat comes down, Schell, I know you're listening. The heat came down. What happened? Adrian Adams told Eric Adams, Schell ain't going to Vicky Palladino's meeting. People have a right to hear from our police leadership what is happening when people are out there every day and every night screaming, Intifada, Intifada, from the river to the sea, let's annihilate every Jew we see, desecrating statues, burning American flags. Chief Schell has not given up his First Amendment rights of free speech simply because he puts on a police uniform. You like the cops to stay quiet. You like it when they get assaulted and hit and they can't respond, only to be able to watch these thugs, these anarchists, these anti-Americans, these Jew haters walk in the streets and laugh at them and spit at them. Oh, the cops can't respond. Well, guess what? They're not impotent. They're not eunuchs. They're not geldings. They're not capons. Unlike Eric Adams, they're manning up and womaning up and saying, no, 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 no. No more Intifada, Intifada, from the river to the sea. Let's annihilate every Jew we see. And what happened, Eric Adams? You failed us again. You pulled his tail, Chief Schell. And now you're flying off to the Vatican to be with the wealthy, the rich, the mobsters, and everybody who's there to check their bank accounts in the most crooked bank in the world, the Vatican Bank. Oh, yeah, Eric Adams, escape. The missing in action, the new nickname, out of town, Eric Adams.
I won't be held responsible. She fell in love in the first place. For the life of me, I cannot remember what made us think that we were wise and we never got.
Talk Radio 77 WABC.
77 WABC.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
No, I get by with a little help from my friends.
If you could only see how blue her eyes can be when she says she loves me. Well, you got your reasons, and you've got your lies, and you've got your manipulations. They cut you down to size.
Hot inside here, maybe cloudy outside right now, but hot inside, as Nelly would say. Two great guests already, Dove Hykind and Curtis Sliwa, and a boatload of great guests still to come. Alan Dershowitz is coming up next. He's going to talk about that hoe, Stormy Daniels. She was in court yesterday. She'll be back tomorrow. Scott Lobato live in studio. That's going to be amazing. We love Scott. Peter King also stopping by the program. Judge Jeanine Pirro. This is unbelievable. And then making his debut on Sid and Friends in the Morning, Missouri Congressman Mark Alpert. You know, they got that issue with George Washington University. But today, according to Anthony D'Esposito, the House will start the proceedings, I believe, to write up some legislation to stop sending money to some of these big-time universities, which I believe is a must. So a lot of big stuff going on. Before I get to Dershowitz, though, you know, I didn't sleep a lot last night because Tacopina, that son of a bitch, texted me at 12:30 in the morning when the Rangers won. Now, the Rangers, it took a couple of overtimes to finally get past Carolina. But just on a personal note, I was actually rooting for the Rangers to lose. Because we've got tickets, thanks to Pete Morgan and Peerless Borders. You got a whole suite for Game 5.
Yeah.
Danielle's coming, Gabriel, Ava, all of us. But in order to make it to a Game 5, the Hurricanes have to win once. Now, I don't think that'll be an issue. I really believe they'll win twice. I think the Rangers come home Monday, it's 2-2. Raleigh is a very difficult place to win, very difficult. But nevertheless, the Rangers have made it nerve-wracking, but they're still undefeated in the playoffs.
Yeah.
They're 6-0.
Yeah, they are.
6-0.
I mean, that's it's unbelievable. And if you want them to lose, I mean, just root for them to lose in a rally. You don't want them to lose at the game.
Yeah, no, they'll lose one of these two, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And then we'll go.
Yeah.
I've also been invited to go to Cleveland on Monday night, the same night, a private plane to see the Cavaliers play the Celtics and sit courtside.
Whose private plane?
I can't tell you that.
Okay, fine.
Because if I do, it'll be a whole afternoon for Curtis, and I want to deal with that.
No further questions.
Yeah. But just trust me when I tell you. I don't lie. Have I ever lied to you?
No.
I tell you all these things, and Lou Rubino's like, I can't believe it.
Right.
It's all true.
I mean, do you embellish? Maybe, but you don't lie.
Well, embellishing is kind of lying.
No.
Okay.
No.
I'll tell you how great you are every day.
And that's not a lie. Mm-hmm. That one's true.
That's true.
This is Sid on Sports.
Oh, my goodness!
Sponsored by Peerless Boilers on 77 WABC.
Justin Ellick here with your bottom of the hour sports update, sponsored by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. Go to peerlessboilers.com, paviliontankless.com to find a dealer near you. They're the world's best built boilers on the ice of the garden. Trocheck scored a power play goal off a rebound at the 7:24 mark of the second OT period, and the Rangers beat the Carolina Hurricanes 4-3 to take a 2-0 lead in their second round playoff set. The series now shifts to Raleigh, North Carolina for the next two games, with game three set for Thursday night. To the NBA, where we've got game two of the Eastern Conference semifinals to look forward to tonight, featuring our very own New York Knicks at MSG to host the Indiana Pacers. Pacers tip-off there set for 8 p.m. Knicks heading in with a 1-0 series lead. In MLB, Alex Verdugo homered and tied a career high with 4 RBI, powering the Yanks past Justin Verlander and the skidding Houston Astros 10-3 in the Bronx. Game 2 of the 3-game set is scheduled for tonight at 7.
Well, the Astros are terrible.
They're terrible, man.
How did that happen? What happened?
I don't know.
They were great for like a decade. Well, it's the same guys.
Yeah.
They got old, I guess.
They get old, and I don't know. You know.
Yeah, but I'm getting old, and I'm getting better.
Yes, you are. But Verlander's 41, and his arm
is... Well, I'm 57.
And his arm is 41.
Oh.
Do you throw 100 pitches every 5 days?
Do I?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
No, I don't do that.
Right.
I'm a radio host. I'm not a pitcher.
Well, but see, sometimes your voice gets a little...
Sometimes, very rarely, though, because I do take very good care of it, yeah.
Yes. Yes. So, you know, these
is
are...
Is this all... over yet?
No.
Oh.
Can it be?
I'd like it to be soon because I want to talk to Dershowitz about Stormy Daniels.
I'd like it to be as well.
And Israel. So.
I think we're on the same page there.
Have we done the Rangers yet?
Yeah. Well, nobody cares about anything else, right?
Well, the Knicks play tonight.
I got to that, too.
No, nobody cares about baseball at this
right.
point. Nobody.
Okay. So screw it. The Mets won, though. 7-5. So there you go.
Mets suck.
They'll go for a sweep today. You can sweep the Cards.
Whatever. Fine.
Okay. That's sports, sponsored by Pete Morgan.
And don't trade Pete Alonso. I'm sick of hearing that already. Stop that stupid talk.
I'm not the one who says I should.
I know he's hitting 212, but so what? Not everybody's Roy Campanella.
He homered yesterday.
Yes, he did. Homers all the time.
Solo shot, baby.
Not everybody's Duke Snyder.
No, that's true.
Not everybody's Pee Wee Reese or Jackie Robinson.
No, but they wish they could be.
They do?
Not that Pee Wee Reese was much of a
They're
home,
all dead,
home
by the
run
way.
Hitter.
What do you mean they wish they could be? They're all dead.
Well, he wasn't much of even more of a...
Pee Wee Reese?
Yeah, wasn't much of a home run hitter.
Yeah, you watch him quite a bit in a Fabish.
Well, the guy was like 5'3". How many home runs could he possibly hit?
Well, I don't know, but how many times did you see Pee Wee Reese play?
Zero.
Well, I thought so.
Sports sponsored by Pete Morgan of Peerless Boilers. Go to peerlessboilers.com and your tankless.com.
Don't say anything bad ever about any Brooklyn Dodger when Alan Dershowitz is on hold.
I didn't say anything bad about him.
You know, I actually sent Dershowitz a personal message a couple of weeks ago. When, was it Carl? No, Erskine died. Carl Erskine.
Yes.
But he never got back to me,
Well, maybe he'll get back to you here.
Probably, yeah.
All
he
right.
loves the Brooklyn Dodgers. Uh-huh. He loves everything Brooklyn.
Of course he does.
He loves me.
Yes, he does. And yeah. And you love him.
Intensely.
Okay, so we're going to move
on. Is this
on.
Over yet?
No, well, yeah, I'd really love to move on. I'm itching to.
Well.
All right? Let's hit the spots there, Diego.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
Entertaining and informative.
Oh, you're my best friend.
77 WABC.
This is from Israel to Jerusalem, and you are the star. And you know, Sid, you know, it's you what you've done, and you've been an example to people. You have to understand, it's not just about what you're doing and the example that you are to your kids. And to your family, it's that you're turning other people on. People are using you as an example. The ultimate example of someone who loves the state of Israel, the people of Israel. If you love the people of Israel, then you act like Sid Rosenberg.
Sunshine, baby, whenever you smile, but I call you Stormy today. All of a sudden, that old rain's falling down, and my
See what I did there? I just was able to combine Israel and Stormy Daniels with Dove Hikind heaping praise on me about Israel and this great classic song, Stormy. That brings me to my dear friend, the best constitutional attorney ever, who's always kind enough to join me on this program, Alan Dershowitz. So I'm going to start with Israel. Now, listen, Alan, I did not sign up for this job. I didn't. But somewhere along the line... The listeners out there, the millions of listeners that I have every morning, decided that I was going to be the guy that eventually was going to take time. It was going to take time, but eventually I was going to convince the great Alan Dershowitz that Joe Biden is no friend of Israel. In fact, the Democrat Party is no friend of Israel. The latest now has Joe Biden not shipping arms to Israel. I don't know what else to do. I've been doing this with you for about a year now to prove that Joe Biden is no good. What else can I do now?
Well, you're doing a very, very good job. First, I need to correct I need to correct your sports guy. Pee Wee Reese was not 5'3". He was 5'9". The name Pee Wee came from the fact that the Kentucky Colonel, great shortstop, played Pee Wee marbles, Emmys. And as a kid, he got the name Pee Wee because he was a Pee Wee marble champ. But he was 5'9",
wow,
ordinary height. And Carl Erskine, I was still mourning his death when you wrote to me. I had spoken to him just a few months earlier about Jackie Robinson and about his own son. He had written a book, Carl Erskine, comparing Jackie Robinson and his son. His son was mentally challenged and overcame the challenges. And he talked about both Robinson and his son as being great heroes. Carl Erskine was a great guy, and I just want everybody to remember him. I saw the last three innings of one of his no-hitters in June of, I think, 1954 or something like that.
Well, I'm glad you did all that because my sports guy's only 28 years old. He has no idea what the hell he's talking about the Brooklyn Dodgers. But I know how much you love the Dodgers, and, you know, me too. I mean, I grew up in Brooklyn a little too young, yes, no question about it. I wasn't even born when the Mets came to town in 62. I was born in 67. But I know all the Dodgers stories, and I love the fact that you shared that. Thank you, Alan. But getting back to Biden for a second.
Look, it's a disaster. It's a disaster. What Biden did, holding up arms sales to Israel at a time that it's fighting for his life, is a disaster. And I am not going to vote for him if he continues along that path. Look, his speech yesterday at the Holocaust Memorial, finally, he unequivocally condemned anti-Semitism. But I'm no great fan of Joe Biden, so I'm going to wait and see. I have an open mind as to who I'm going to vote for. You know, I don't have to make up my mind until October. But withholding, and let me tell you how stupid this was. You know what he withheld? He withheld smart bombs that are capable of distinguishing between terrorists and civilians. So on the one hand, he hectors Israel, you're killing too many civilians, and then he says, but we're going to withhold from you the one weapon that can make you improve the quality of making sure your bombs never hit civilians. No country in the history of the world, has ever done more to avoid civilian casualties and has ever been more successful. There are fewer civilian casualties in proportion to combatant casualties in Israel than in any country, including the United States. How dare anyone, according to these thugs who are protesting, protest against Israel's killing civilians? The only reason any civilians are killed is because Hamas uses them as human shields. Every time a civilian is killed, whether it's an Israeli civilian or a Palestinian civilian, Hamas cheers and benefits. Anytime a civilian's killed, Israel suffers. Why would Israel ever want to kill a civilian? So the idea that Biden is withholding smart bombs, bombs that make it easier to avoid civilian casualties, is absolutely absurd. And everybody should condemn them for it and oppose them. And I want to lead that charge, condemning Joe Biden for that decision.
So the question then becomes, you say that right now you're not going to vote for Joe Biden, but you're still reserving the right. Your opinion is not fully formed yet. So if you don't vote for Joe Biden, is it fair to assume you're going to vote for Donald Trump?
I'm going to wait and see. You know, look, Donald Trump also withheld bunker bombs from Israel when he was president, as did Obama and as did Biden. So I can't put unique blame on him. I hope, if I am convinced that Trump is going to be far, far, far better for Israel, I would be very inclined to think about that. Of course, my wife would never sleep with me again.
See, that's the issue.
Maybe it would be worth it.
Yeah, I love your wife. She's a lovely lady, but you're kind of kidding, but you're not. I mean, she really despises Donald Trump. She hates his guts. So, but getting back to if Donald Trump can prove to you, I mean, Alan, you're a smart guy. He's got 4 years. He's got a resume of being the best president ever.
I agree with you. And by the way, my wife doesn't hate Donald Trump's guts. She actually likes him as a person. She is just very concerned about his attitude toward the Supreme Court, toward women's right to choose, toward environment, toward, you know, other things that are part traditionally of the difference between Democrats and Republicans. Look, if you're a conservative and a supporter of Israel, your vote is easy. Of course you're going to vote for Trump. But if you're a liberal like me and my wife and a supporter of Israel, we're homeless. We have nowhere to go. The Democrats aren't good for us. The Republicans aren't good for us on domestic issues. And so we have to vote for the least worst candidate based on everything. And I'll make that decision in October. I tell you what, I will consult with you before I make the decision.
Fair enough.
And input from you.
And you will do that. You don't lie. You see, Alan Dershowitz is honest. He will do that with me. Well, let me ask you this. If you would have consulted with me a month ago, I would have said to you, when you sit down with Bibi Netanyahu, which you do, you really do, you two guys have a close relationship, I would tell Bibi, screw Joe Biden, screw Anthony Blinken, do not listen to the United States, even those poor hostage parents, God bless them, go into Rafah, destroy Hamas, if it means civilians dying, oh well, it's called war. I would have told him that months ago. So obviously, I'm okay with what's going on today. What about you?
Well, so am I. And I have spoken to BB, I would say, 10 times in the last 5 days. We're on the phone constantly and repeatedly. I can't tell you the advice I give him, but it is not inconsistent with your advice. I think Israel has to finish the job. And, you know, out of one side of his mouth, Biden says Israel has to finish the job, destroy Hamas. That's their right. That's their obligation. On the other side of his mouth, he withholds smart bombs and says don't go into Rafah. Look, Israel is trying desperately to keep the civilian casualties down, unlike what the United States did when we firebombed Dresden and nuclear bombed Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Israel is desperately trying to reduce civilian casualties. They've created corridors. I made a suggestion publicly so I can disclose this, but I made it to the prime minister and to the head of the Mossad and others who I met with in Israel, to create an area in the Negev, in Israel, wall it off, and allow 1 million people from Gaza to stay there for 6 weeks, temporarily, with the best food and the best tents and everything, with a guarantee that they'll be returned, and then in the 6 weeks, go in and clear out Rafah completely.
I like that.
Destroy every tunnel, destroy every Hamas fighter, and destroy every Hamas leader.
Do you think that the hostages are still alive? And what I mean by that in big numbers, I mean, I've had people tell me less than 10. What do you think?
No, I think it's probably a little higher, but we don't know. Probably a number of the soldiers are still alive, but they're not right now being traded. Right now, all that's being traded are 33 people and their bodies. Maybe 20 are alive, maybe 13 are not. We don't know. It's up in the air. But the idea that Israel has to give up for that hundreds of murderers who will go back to Gaza, get guns and weapons and kill more Jews is absurd.
Yeah.
But, you know, what do you do when you have your families of the hostages protesting and begging and pleading and crying? You have to listen to them, but you can't allow them to make policy for all of Israel. You know, Bibi Netanyahu's policies on Rafah are widely supported by Israelis, even those who oppose him as prime minister. They support the end game of destroying Hamas and not allowing it to have any realistic military presence. Of course, the United States constantly announces, well, you can't destroy an ideology by destroying its leaders. Yes, you can. We destroyed Nazism by killing Hitler and Goebbels and Goering. We destroyed the fascism of Japan by bombing Hiroshima. What happened after we bombed Hiroshima? They didn't become terrorists. They became friends of the United States. The same thing happened in Germany. Germany and Japan became America's greatest allies. And I think if Israel destroys Hamas and then tries to rebuild Gaza in a way that's positive, it could be a step toward peace. But they have to destroy Hamas. You can't have peace in the Middle East with Hamas still existing as a viable military force.
Well said, Alan Dershowitz. Let's move to Trump. Now look, is it possible for a porn star to get raped? Of course. Just because she takes her clothes off for a living and puts it on camera doesn't mean she can't be violated. Of course. But listening to Stormy Daniels yesterday, that she ended up on the bed all of a sudden, she was just in her bra, that she was shaking, putting her shoes back on, when she, in fact, gets paid to have sex with big, fat, broke guys for a living. Here she's with a multimillionaire who's a TV host, knowing full well there are going to be dollar signs down the road. If there was ever, ever a gold digger, man, did Stormy Daniels sound like that yesterday. But the bigger question is, Who cares what she says? How is that relevant to the case?
It's not utterly irrelevant. It's even irrelevant whether they had sex. The only relevant thing is whether she extorted him and said to him, I'm going to say we had sex unless you pay me $130,000. That's relevant. But whether they had sex isn't relevant, and certainly whether he was wearing silk pajamas or whether he was wearing Old Spice or whether they had the missionary position or another position, that will cause reversible error. And if you read the Harvey Weinstein decision brought about by our great friend Arthur Idella, you'll see that the New York Court of Appeals is going to reverse this because they said in the Weinstein case, you just can't introduce all this nonsense that's so prejudicial to the defendant. You have to try the case. This case is a bookkeeping case, and even the bookkeeping entry was perfectly legitimate. It certainly wasn't criminal. When you pay off somebody who's going to sue you, it is a legal expense. Of course it's a legal expense. All right, let's assume it's not a legal expense. So it's a misdemeanor that's barred by the statute of limitations. Then you have to, you know, Easter-like, create a resurrection in which you resurrect a dead misdemeanor and create a live felony by saying, aha, but in his mind, psychoanalytically, he must have been thinking about the election, not about his wife, not about the embarrassment to his family, not about his business. It is the most absurd case I've ever heard. And if I were a member of the New York City Bar Association, I would be bringing both Bragg and Letitia James in front of the bar to investigate the use of the criminal justice system for partisan political purposes to help them get reelected. They ran on the campaign of Get Trump. That's how I named my book, Get Trump. They ran on that campaign, and they, in the Bragg case, they decided to find a crime. They couldn't find the crime, so they invented a non-crime.
Right.
And because it's Manhattan, he may get convicted, but it'll be reversed on appeal.
Yeah, they've actually not even mentioned the crime yet, 4 weeks in. And there are three witnesses, Pecker, Davidson, and Stormy Daniels. I can make a very strong argument. I'm not a lawyer like you, nor nearly as brilliant. They were better for Trump than they were for the prosecution. But how about this one? A huge win, Alan Dershowitz. A huge win for my friend Donald Trump. It looks like that another ridiculous case, that classified documents case. It ain't ever going to happen because right now it has been postponed indefinitely. And if Trump wins, it ain't ever going to happen. Huge win for Donald Trump today. Yes,
absolutely. And two of the cases involve people who have committed worse misconduct than they allege Trump committed. In the case in Florida, they distorted the evidence. They refiled papers and then they misled the court. That's very, very serious. And obviously in Georgia, with our very eyes, we saw the prosecutor and her boyfriend commit perjury. They're the ones who ought to be on trial. They're the ones who ought to go to jail. She just lied to everybody when she said she didn't start her affair with him until after she picked him and paid him $700,000. Even the judge said he didn't find that credible. And yet she's still the DA. She should be on trial today. And so I think these cases against Trump are quickly evaporating. The only one that's really left, other than the New York case, which could result in a conviction, is the Washington case, which requires that the Supreme Court to decide whether he has immunity and how much immunity he has. I suspect that decision should come down relatively soon.
In the final 60 seconds, Alan, and again, it's been a brilliant appearance out of you. You're a Democrat. I'm a Republican. We know how we're going to vote if in fact we like our candidates. But a lot of people believe, I think it's overstated, but a lot of people believe that the independents will decide whether it's Biden or Trump. Do you think these court cases and these convictions mean so much to independents that they actually see how Donald Trump is being persecuted, that that could mean the difference, especially as they continue to go away in the manner that they are?
Well, I would hope not. I would hope that nobody should take seriously these criminal cases. And I would think that independents would also be appalled at these college graduations being canceled, the rampant anti-Semitism, the failure of university presidents, almost all of whom are Democrats, to do anything about this. And who knows? The Bobby Kennedy candidacy could have an impact on a couple of states. This election is just too close to call. And that's why it's so unfair to put the thumb of criminal prosecution, fake criminal prosecution, on the scale of elections. I want to be able to vote for my candidate or against the candidate based on the merits,
yep.
not that what some Democratic prosecutor wanted to do. And the worst thing in the New York case is that they're purposely taking him off the campaign trail by having an unconstitutional gag order and not showing the trial on television. We should be able to see every minute of a trial when it's so unfair and when they're putting on trial a man who half America, at least, will vote for president.
That's an excellent job, as always, Alan Dershowitz. You really are a treasure. You're so great. I love you. Thank you so much. We'll do it again very soon. Thank you, buddy.
Anytime. Thank you.
All right, Alan. There he is, a great attorney. And what a great guest, Alan Dershowitz. A lot more to do this hour. Another hero, Scott Lobato. Come on, Staten Island, stand up. He'll be live in studio and the great Congressman Peter King. But first, a little more Stormy, and it's raining out.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
But you say he's just a friend.
Oh, you're my best friend.
77 WABC.
Oi!
Ray Charles, America the Beautiful. This is a Casey Kasem short distance dedication, not long distance, because the man's sitting about 5 feet from me. And I love this guy. Forget about me. My wife Danielle and my son Gabriel love this guy. I dragged them to his movie, The Relentless Patriot, in Mar-a-Lago, and they wanted to come because they wanted to meet Trump, which they did, of course, but they had no idea about the movie, nor did they care. And now I swear to God, I'm not exaggerating, Scott Lobato, one of Sliwa's patriots out there, rebels on Staten Island, is so beloved in my house that when he comes on the show, I have to text Danielle. She's in the car right now. She's like, you tell me. And Gabriel, my son, he stood and clapped and cheered. It was an unbelievable movie, The Relentless Patriot. The whole night was great. Best part was when Trump walked in and stopped the movie to tell me how good looking I am. That's a true story. But now the movie will premiere in New York in June. That's all we know. I have no more details. So Lobato's in studio right now because he, like every other decent American, and he's a better American than most of you, trust me, was furious when he saw these scumbags, these animals, these pro-murder, pro-Hamas, pro-Palestinian mother effers. Forget about what they're doing to Israel. They defaced America. The World War I Memorial just a couple of days ago. And if you know anything about Scott's history, and if you don't, go see The Relentless Patriot. If you know anything about Scott, these things happen, and he's on the scene very, very quickly. With that said, good morning, Scott Lobato.
Good morning, Sid, and I hesitate because it's not a good morning.
I know you're pissed.
It's not a good morning.
And he's sincere, folks. This is not an act. He's not going to live from a movie part. This is him.
Let me, you guys were talking about this all morning. I heard you guys, everyone's talking about it. Let me just say this. I've been working with veterans and veterans causes for 30 years. Part of my patriotic, theme and what I've been doing and preserving America with my artwork, raising money for these veterans and stuff. And, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation, working with them from the beginning. And we get to experience and drink and hang out with these young guys that came back from Afghanistan and Iraq more than ever before in our history, coming back triple amputees, double amputees, quad amputees. Brendan Morocco from Staten Island, the first quad amputees. Okay. And
I know he gets, actually, in the movie, just so you know, he's getting a little emotional, but in the movie, even though it's a very emotional movie, you do cry when the 90-year-old veteran says nice things about you, Vietnam vet. So this is real emotion.
Yes, it's emotion. And my point that I'm getting to is when you desecrate the flag and you desecrate these war memorials dedicated to these men and women that sacrificed for my crazy ass, for my crazy freedom-loving, you know, balls to the wall, do what I want, crazy ass. Same with you. That's why we worship these men and women. And when that shit happens, I'm sorry, when that stuff happens, it kills me inside. It kills me and you as civilians. It kills me. Not because it kills me, Sid. It kills me because I know for a fact that it slaughters the hearts of these men and women who served.
Yeah.
That's what it kills us for. That's what it is. And for these young little sons of bitches to not consider that. Now, I've been protesting more than any of these punks for the last 30 years. More than any of them.
With multiple arrests.
Multiple arrests. Not as many as Curtis.
Right.
But every single one. Now, we all express. I'm expressing my grievances, just like these folks are. But when I express my grievances, I always have that American flag with me. Because the only reason I can express, or these kids out in the street can express their effing grievances, is because of those war memorials out there, that flag, and the men and women that sacrificed so we can express our grievances. And to bite the hand that feeds you and to slap these people in the face burns me up.
Scott Lobato, just so you know, has not once, not twice, but three times gone to every state. He doesn't fly. He's got some ear issue. He has to drive. He's driven to Alaska. He's driven to Hawaii to paint flags. He ain't making money. It's costing him money to paint flags across this nation. That's how much he loves the American flag. But when you texted me yesterday, you were ready to come in and criticize Mayor Eric Adams. But now Adams, putting up $5,000 of his own money, wink, wink, to find these people who did this, it kind of takes the wind out of your sails. No?
Not at all. It Not makes all. Me even come back here one more. I was actually on my way in yesterday. I called up some graffiti friends of mine to clean up graffiti, to come in and power wash that myself, because if it was still on there, and thank God I saw that they cleaned it up.
It's gone, yeah.
First of all, Mayor Adams, I know you're going to Italy to see the Pope. You want to get close to God? Let me tell you something. I got a very personal relationship with God, and he called me yesterday, God.
He did.
And he said, tell your mayor to keep his ass in New York and save that city. He doesn't need to come here. Tell him I told you to tell him to stay in the city. Don't go out fancying around in your silk suits with all your rich buddies in Italy. Stay here and save this city. Back to the whole, you know, being patriotic, wrapping himself in the flag. And I gave him a compliment the other day when he first said something before this one about America. You don't disrespect the American flag. He's talking about these young punks and that his uncle served and died sacrificing for this country. And I gave him props, and I respect that 100% and tremendously. But with that said, it was a backhanded compliment. You can say what you want. Words are words. Actions mean everything. And at this point in the game, you are too late to wrap yourself in the flag, because this could have been stopped weeks ago, if not months ago. And you know this, Sid, because you, Mayor Adams, have the power to take the handcuffs off of these police department and let them do their job. Hold on. The peaceful protesters, you're peaceful. Even if I don't believe in what you're protesting, you got my kudos, because I know about protesting. But you are violent and destructive. You need to be punished immediately. And I'm not saying walking in, getting a slap on a wrist like you guys were talking about this morning. When I was back in the day, I've been getting arrested a long time. All I did was put American flags up at the French consulate, outside the French consulate, raising the American flag. The issue doesn't matter. I got arrested. I spent the weekend in central booking. That's the Tombs, they call it, if you remember.
I've been there.
It wasn't. You've been there?
Yes,
okay.
Twice.
72 hours with the hardest of criminals, and my little lily white ass was scared crapless. So this is what needs to be done. You take one of these little violent protesters and you put them in central booking for a night, not even a weekend. And I guarantee you, they'll come out, spread the word. There'll be protesters, but they will be the most peaceful protesters you've ever seen.
My issue with Adams was, and I've brought this up only 1,000 times to just about every single guest, is, you know, those 13 days that he did nothing. He did nothing. He made excuses. He said, I can't go to Columbia. It's a private university. I can't do anything. Well, I've spoken to some people now. Those were a harrowing 13 days. Some of those Jewish students wouldn't even go to the bathroom. They were afraid to leave their room to go to the bathroom. And Adam said, well, I can't go in. And I'll ask you this, Scott. You're a pretty smart guy. Let's swap out the protesters. Let's get rid of the pro-Palestinians and put the Ku Klux Klan on the lawn at Columbia. And they're out there screaming, death to the blacks! Kill the blacks! Do you think Mayor Eric Adams waits for the president of that university to call, or do you think in 15 minutes he brings the National Guard?
Exactly. What one man can do, another can do. It's one of my favorite lines of the movie The Edge with Anthony Hopkins, a survival situation. So I'm tired of his excuses. Well, I can't do anything with Mayor Adams because of you have the power to get in Bragg's face. You have the power to get in D.A. Bragg's face and take care of these criminals. Let me tell you something, Mr. Mayor. Again, I give you kudos for wrapping yourself in the flag at this point in the game. But remember what you did, okay? We need, I'm getting all crazy here. Okay? I'm getting all flustered here. This is why I'm here. And I'm going to make this speech today in front of this memorial, this World War II, the 107th Infantry Memorial.
You want to give out the time so people can come and see you?
It's not open. I mean, it's not open. You want to come, you want to come. It's 1 o'clock.
Would you consider this civil disobedience? Is there a chance you're going to get arrested today?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, I'm going
to
make sure you
wouldn't be any reason to arrest me, but you never know.
I'm going to call John Schell right now. Make sure you do.
And my lawyer's already in case.
It just looks better on the resume.
But here's what we need to do. Okay, Mayor, if you're going to put you got to put your money where your mouth is. This is what you need to do. Okay. Remember a couple of weeks ago, you sent 60 police officers to arrest me for throwing two slices of pizza to feed some pigeons at City Hall.
That's true.
Now, hear me out, Mr. Mayor. If you can send 60 cops to protect your little property from slices of pizza, then I want to see three cops on every single war memorial in this effing city.
I like that.
To protect that property until this slows down. And you can't afford it. You send 60 cops to arrest me for that. That's bull. And if not, you want all these illegal aliens in here and give them $10,000 a pop? You put 10 illegal aliens, you pay them to protect these war memorials. These up was nothing sacred anymore. This is the last stand is protecting and saving our country and our flag. Let me get to the flag. I wrote a bill and I'm going to be pushing it to you guys, to Congress. Okay. It's about the flag desecration. Now I'm going to go halfway with this because I'm not crazy.
Oh, you're crazy.
It's legal to burn the flag.
I know it is.
Now, if I decide to burn a big wheel or a teddy bear in the street, that is considered arson. I will be arrested. If you burn an American flag and the fabric, the polyester comes off of that, that will get on somebody else, get into a car, kill somebody. That is arson. But it's okay because it's freedom of expression. Hear me out. It should now be a law, and I want this to be a law. On your public property, you can burn the flag, even though I don't want you to. But in public property, that should be outlawed. That should definitely happen, and I want to see that passed. I'm going to push that.
I think I want to have sex with you. It's not gay, because... No, I swear to God, you're just... I'm with you 1,000%. I mean, you're beautiful. You're 100% right. All these things are disgraceful. They bother me, too. Final 60 seconds. I just got a text from my friend Jack Manzo, and he sent me two tickets. I had no idea this was even taking place, to a huge President Trump rally in Wildwood, New Jersey on Saturday. Thank you, Jack Manzo. And it turns out that all these honors you've been getting lately, deservedly so, including this great movie, The Relentless Patriot, you've got a huge honor coming up on Saturday, don't you?
Yeah, something I've been trying to get to do for a while. And thanks to all my friends, including you and Siggy, who helped introduce me to these people. I'm now like, I am just got confirmation. I will be performing I will be the opening act for Donald Trump's rally. I'll be doing my famous speed painting live on stage, paint flying to music.
Unbelievable.
It's going to be tremendous. And they're going to let me show the trailer of the movie. June 14th, the movie comes out in theaters across this country, people. TheRelentlessPatriot.com. In the coming weeks, you'll find out what theaters you can get tickets in advance. This movie, I hate pushing it. Sounds like I'm just on here just to push the movie. I'm on here to talk about what I'm talking about today. But this movie is going to help Donald Trump get elected and save this country. Mark my words.
I agree with you. It is an unbelievable movie. Again, no disrespect. I had very little expectations. I wanted to see the president, and I wanted to see more of the movie. I was like, get the president out of here. But while he was there in the final 30 seconds, he was marveling at your paintings, which they had inside this theater in Mar-a-Lago, and one specific one where he's kind of jacked like Rocky. He loved that painting. So maybe, just maybe, Maybe. You're such a talented guy. You're a great, great voice for America. You really are the Relentless Patriot. I have a chance to work with Curtis every day, and I love Curtis, and he's also great. But you are an inspiration to me and a lot of other folks in New York and around America. God bless you.
Thank you, man.
Good luck today.
To wake people up.
Good luck today. That's my guy, Scott Lobato, everybody. The great Scott Lobato. Tremendous artist, great American. My man cares. A little more Ray Charles. God bless America.
America, sweet America. You know, God done shed his grace on thee.
Oy! This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
Friends, how many of us have them? Friends.
77 WABC.
Psychedelic Furs, Ghost in You. I lost my hearing aid in my right ear. It's gone. And my left ear is significantly lower. I do this all the time. You know, they tell me I got to come back every 6 weeks. And I forget. I'm busy. I'm a very busy guy. So these have been in for the better part of 3 months. Now one is not working at all. And one is only half working. Now with the microphone, of course, and my headphones, it's fine, but a regular conversation, for example, I've got a meeting coming up at 10:30 with John Catsimatidis. I'm going to hear a damn word they say. Now I have to go at 12 o'clock to the ear doctor and get my hearing aids replaced.
So you didn't hear anything I asked you during the break, then?
Not a word.
I was just asking if you were going to go on Saturday.
No, I heard that part.
Oh, okay.
It's up to Danielle. It's not up to me.
All right.
Danielle wants to go to Wildwood, New Jersey to hang out with Donald Trump. We'll go. It's not up to me.
Of course.
Right. Saturday's tough. I got the kids.
Mm.
And Ava's friend Toby's in from England. So I don't know. We'll see.
You're a very busy man.
I'm not going to wait out. Here's the thing. Like, I went to the firehouse last week and I never saw Trump.
Right.
He was across the street. So unless I get absolute confirmation that I'll be with the president inside, not outside with a bunch of, you know, Bruce Springsteen lunatics, I'm not going to go.
Fair.
I mean, I've had intimate lunches with the president.
Yes,
we hung out, you know.
You ate a burger with his face on it.
I did. I ate a burger with his face on it. That's true, yes.
I remember when you did that. You know what you need to do is, the problem is if you go to an event like this, you have to shove all the local lawmakers who want FaceTime out of the way. Because you can imagine, in Wildwood, they're all going to line up.
Yeah. I don't even know who they are. I don't care. That's Jersey. Right.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So maybe we need to get it so you do the last introduction. So, you know, let the mayors and all those local people speak. And then you get to do the intro.
You can do that?
Yeah, why not? I mean, I can ask.
You can't even get me into court for this trial.
Wait a second. You ruined it for yourself by trying to get into court. It's made it more difficult because you said you were going to have an outburst court. And so when I went to get you a seat in the courthouse, guess what the first thing they said to me was?
Says who?
Basically, yeah. So I still can get you in, I think, but it's just it's a little more difficult than it usually
is. Make the call. I mean, I'm not going to stand online behind, I love Jack Chitarelli. He'll be the next governor of New Jersey, but I'm a much bigger star than Jack Chitarelli. I'm sorry. So I'm not going to stand online behind any of these New Jersey politicians. And if Josh Gottheimer is there, I mean, forget about it.
Well
he won't
be
there. He's a Democrat.
Yeah,
that's right.
Right.
We'll see what you can do, okay?
All right.
Is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
Friends, how many of us have them? 77 WABC.
Hagar's Van Halen, 854. You're kind of rainy here Wednesday morning. My two favorite politicians in my lifetime, I was just 57, are Rudy Giuliani and Peter King here in New York. And here he is for his every Wednesday visit, the great Congressman Peter King. Pete, good Wednesday morning, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Just I'm a little tired. My crazy son Sean texted me in the middle of the night to say the Rangers won and quadruple overtime.
I got the same thing. Joseph Tacopina texted me at 12:30.
Right.
I mean, and I got to be up at 3. Yeah, I know. But it's exciting. I mean, you're an Islander fan. Is Sean a Ranger fan or an Islander fan?
He's actually a Flyer fan, believe it or not. But he's a hockey fan. He loves the Philadelphia Flyers. Don't ask me why. When he has time off, he'll drive to Philadelphia to watch the Flyers practice. I mean,
wow.
How crazy he is. Yeah.
Wow. I guess for him, it was the Eric Lindros years. Is that what?
I don't know. He goes back. He just loves it. He's had posters of them. He talks about all the different Flyers over the years, Bobby Clark, everything else. So
no,
I don't know. I gave up a long time ago trying to figure him out with his music and his hockey. Yeah. You know, what can I tell you?
You sound like my late father. He also gave up a long time ago. But I tell you what, Peter, you and I talk about all the issues all the time, both here domestically and, of course, abroad, whether it's Ukraine or Israel or Russia or China. But you'd have to admit, as a really great sports guy, which you are, a man that signed the lease, which enabled the Islanders to win 4 Stanley Cups out there at the Nassau Coliseum, diehard Met fan, all of that, that one of the real bright spots, maybe the only bright spot in Manhattan right now, is the place that has both the Knicks and the Rangers as their tenants, Madison Square Garden.
Well, I am an Islander fan. Having said that, I grew up watching the Rangers. I have nothing against the Rangers. I'm rooting for them all the way. Now, I don't want to be the downer on this one. I don't watch the NBA. I stopped watching it 4 years ago after George Floyd and the way they stole out and went against the cops. But again, I don't want to put a downer on other fans. I just can't bring myself to watch it. But the Rangers, I'm with it all, with them all the way. I think they a great organization, great players. And, different guys you have back. Ron Duguay, I met him once in an event, but I listen to him all the time. He's a great guy. I met Sarah Palin a number of times, great woman. And but going back to all the Rangers over the years, going back to the days of Gump Worsley, Andy Bathgate, Dean Prentice, we can go through all of them. And then, of course, the 1994 team, and they were just great. I mean, absolutely. So it's a great franchise. It's a story tradition. Reminds me a lot of the New York Football Giants, that type of thing, a real story tradition in New York. I used to go to the old Garden. I think for 50 cents we could get into the top section. Then it held like, I guess, 16,000 for hockey. And we'd stand on the seats in the back row behind the net. It was great.
That does sound great. Well, let's do this. Let's put Peter on a quick hold for a second. A little sports talk there is always good to get us warmed up. Then we'll get to the serious stuff. So keep it right here. Peter King, Jeanine Pirro, and Missouri Congressman Mark Alford, all still with me. Peter King coming back right after this.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
How many of us have them? Friends.
77 WABC.
She's a good girl. Loves her mom. Loves Jesus. In America, too. She's a good girl. She's crazy about Elvis. Loves horses. And her boyfriend, too.
The late, great Tom Petty, Free Fallin', 902, New York City. Wednesday morning, back with the great Peter King. You know, Peter, the mayor is on his way to Italy tomorrow. For some reason, my own radio station put out a tweet yesterday. The mayor is on his way to Italy like it was celebrating. I mean, the city is a mess. I know he says it's not. We're on the way back. Three people on this show said that yesterday. Him, Arthur Idala, and John Schell. And they're all lying. It's not on the way back. It's a mess. We just had a college, a university cancel graduation. Two nights ago, my 20-year-old daughter couldn't get home to Queens from New York because pro-Palestinian protesters were terrorizing all of New York City. The illegals are still all over the streets and veterans and homeless. I mean, what is he talking about? How could he possibly make a real argument for going to Italy now and the city is back? What am I missing?
No, I don't think you're missing very much at all. Listen, I have a great regard for Chief Schell. In fact, I was talking with him at the police officer's funeral out in Massapequa last month. He's a great guy. I think, again, does a great job with the NYPD. The reality is, even though the city may be better than it was a year or two ago, the fact is it's nowhere near where it was back in 2019. We're still giving off the George Floyd numbers. Its crime is out of control. Again, the city is unsafe. And these demonstrations, they have to be quashed. They have to be put down early on. And the fact that it's breaking out all over the city shows that no matter how good a job the NYPD is going to do, these animals know if they get locked up, they're out in an hour. You know, they get an appearance ticket, they're out. So there's no fear. So they can cause these demonstrations everywhere and anywhere, terrorize people. I mean, what they did in Central Park the other night was absolutely disgraceful. But again, what your daughter went through, I hear that from so many people. You never know when this is going to happen. And the reason for it is there's no consequences. I mean, if there's 30 cops there and they lock them all up, what does it mean? Before the cop gets back to the station house, these animals are back out in the street. So it's wrong, and we have to get better control. The courts have to do a better job. The DAs have to do a better job, and people have to stand behind the cops. But I think it would be better if people came forward in the police department, in the mayor's office, and said, listen, it's a bad situation. It's gotten slightly better, but it's still bad. And we shouldn't have to put up with this. And we're going to do all we can and put the heat on the DAs, put the heat on the courts, put the heat on the state legislature. Go after the governor for not changing these laws. We can't all be shaking hands and loving each other when there's nothing to love right now.
Agreed. And I tell you, yesterday, Pete, I saw the story where Eric Adams had to talk to Rikers because, Judge Mershon keeps threatening our friend Trump, I'm going to put him in jail. So Adams, did his due diligence and found out whether or not they could actually put him there. But how embarrassing is it for the mayor of this city when right outside my window right here on 3rd Avenue right now, there's probably a very good chance that there's somebody walking down the street with 20 priors, maybe something as violent as rape or attempted murder. That guy's walking the streets, but the mayor, Eric Adams, is asking Rikers about imprisoning Donald Trump. Again, how does that make any sense?
It makes none. And, people are going to look back on this and say, the city's falling apart, the country's falling apart, the world is falling apart, and the president of the United States is being tried an alleged sexual affair from almost 20 years ago where there was nobody hurt, no harm done. Everything was consequential, consensual, even if it happens. This is absolutely insane. But it's also a disgrace, you know, to the legal system. I haven't practiced law in a while, but I know enough about it that this judge is disgracing himself, disgracing the court system. The DA is an absolute disgrace. And yesterday, to allow that testimony in, the only hope I have is this could really blow up in the DA's face, blow up in the Democrats' face. And again, I go back to when Bill Clinton, when there was overkill. Yeah, Bill Clinton was going to be impeached. He was going to be removed. It was horrible. But the more that came out of the tawdry stuff, the more people went over to the President Clinton's side.
Yeah.
I remember watching the, when they showed the replay of his grand jury testimony. And at the beginning, I'd say the phone calls, that was really before social media. The phone calls were coming in 90% against Clinton. By the time it was over, they were 90% for him. How could you do this to the President of the United States? Nobody wants to see or hear this stuff. And I think that hopefully will be the reaction to what happened yesterday. That was low life. I don't know who's more of a low life, Stormy Daniels or Alvin Bragg.
But, well said. They're both low lives. And if you did like what you saw yesterday, which any decent person couldn't, get ready for part two tomorrow. He's off today. There's no court for Trump today, but he's back in court tomorrow. And Stormy Daniels will be testifying again. Final 60 seconds, Peter. Not only were you a great congressman out on Long Island, but you did a great job on a federal level, Homeland Security. You still are, by the way, going out to Washington every couple of months and reminding people that the terrorist threat here in the States is a real threat. But when you see the President of the United States make a speech one day at a Holocaust remembrance, how much he loves and respects the Jews, but on that same day you find out that this president said, nah, we're not going to ship you arms when they're in the war for their lives. What does that tell you about President Biden?
Totally hypocritical. Is that it? But totally blind, morally blind, politically blind, diplomatically blind. And, you know, the fact that he made that speech, yeah, it was a great speech. But it wouldn't have even gotten the publicity if he made it earlier on. Every president should make that speech every day of the week, not wait 7 months after the horrible attack of October 6th. I mean, October 7th. It was just absolutely indefensible. He waited so long to give that speech. But Israel has to get the weapons it needs. Israel has to survive. There's no equivalency here between Hamas and Israel. Israel has to win. And to win, they have to destroy Hamas. Otherwise, you're going to have more hostages, more people killed. And we're back here again 2 or 3 years ago. If you want to end this, if you want to have peace, if you want to have justice, let Israel destroy Hamas and get out of the way.
Well said, as always, Pete King. You're my man. I love you. Great, great spot. Thank you for joining me this morning. I'll see you and do it again very, very soon, Peter. Thank you so much.
You got it.
Well, all right. That's my man, Pete King, right there, the great congressman out of Long Island. He's great every Wednesday. That's a big deal for us that we get Peter King every week. It really is. And that wraps up hour number three. Big hour number four about to come your way. Missouri Congressman Mark Alford will make his debut. And, of course, coming up after the news, the great Judge Jeanine Pirro. Pirro and Alford, hour four, coming at you.
Move west down Ventura Boulevard.
Boy, you're my best friend.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
For my friends.
77 WABC.
Brian Adams, One Night Love Affair, 9:15. Some police activity outside this Third Avenue window. A couple of black cars and cops. I don't know what that is, but we've got a great show already today. Dove Hykind and Curtis Sliwa, Alan Dershowitz, Peter King. We're still going to talk to Missouri Congressman Mark Alford. they're going to introduce legislation today, because I'm bothering all these House guys about it, to cut funding off to these schools, these mother effers. Plus, they're still rallying at that George Washington school. So we'll talk to Outward coming up. And we also had Scott Lobato in studio, which brings me to my next guest. She's the star of The Five. She's the best talent Fox News has. And she's got a great Sunday morning radio show here. And Judge Jeanine Pirro Lobato wanted me to remind you, do not miss, I've already seen it down in Mar-a-Lago, do not miss his June 14th New York premiere of The Relentless Patriot. He wants you there.
I can't wait. That's great. I love Scott. I was one of the first people to put Scott Lobato on Fox when Donald Trump came out, and Scott was starting to be, they were objecting to him in Hollywood. They couldn't believe that someone would actually support Donald Trump. So, yeah, I love Scott. I will be there.
Oh, he's been so happy to hear that. You know, he does this thing, too. He paints really, really quickly, and he paints an American flag or the face of Trump, let's say, in a minute. It's unbelievable. He's a very talented guy. So Trump has a huge rally coming up. I think I'll be there this Saturday in Wildwood, New Jersey. And the opening act for Donald Trump is, in fact, Scott Lobato.
Fantastic. Well, I got to tell you, I mean, look at the fact that we've got a president who's locked out in a courtroom, and I'm going to be in the courtroom tomorrow, Thursday and Friday, and reporting all day. I can't wait to get into that courtroom and get a sense of, you know, what this jury looks like, how they're taking it all in, because I haven't heard any of that stuff. And I love to try to read a jury, because obviously if you're a trial lawyer, that's what you do. But it is what has been happening in that trial has been absolutely unbelievable. It is reversible error without a doubt. And yet nobody seems to care because they figure, well, you know, we'll just get through the election. And the fact that this Stormy Daniels has been able to say what she has said is just stunning to me. Stunning. The fact that something, according to her, happened in 2006, that somehow is relevant to a bookkeeping notation more than a decade later in 2017 is stunning. It is reversible error. And then the judge says, well, you know, she shouldn't have gotten it out. She shouldn't have said it. You know what? If that guy were a real judge, the first thing he would have done is he would have called the attorneys to the bench and said, what is going on here? She's got to keep her statement to the extent that the judge is going to allow it to the bare minimum here. This isn't a soap opera. And at this point, I'll sanction you if you let her go any further. Give a curative instruction to the jury right then and there, limiting instructions. And this judge is like, oh, well, you know, let me know what you want me to say when I charge the jury, which is four weeks down the road.
No, you're right.
Outrageous.
You know, it's outrageous.
I am right.
No, it's outrageous. And look, I have no issue with porn stars. I'm being serious. I mean, I admit I watch porn. I know some of the girls over the years. I'm sorry if you're against that. I'm sorry. But I do, and I've met some of the ladies. They're actually nice ladies, but this lady is such
really?
A... Yes, they are. They're making a living, you know. They're not all as smart as you. But this filthy animal, this whore, from day one was about taking Trump's money. That's all this was about from day one. That's it.
Yeah, and you know what cracks me up? She said, well, the money really didn't matter. Are you kidding? You lie down to make a living. The money doesn't matter? Give me a break. I mean, but this is what this trial is all about. It's about taking Trump down, doing whatever they can. A bookkeeping notation more than a decade later. The truth is there's an NDA. Is there an NDA? Yes. It doesn't matter what it's for. It's got nothing to do with entering that notation. This judge is so in the pocket, and not just in the pocket. He is so beyond what is legally admissible in this case that it's stunning to me. It's absolutely stunning. And this case, as sure as I'm talking to you, Sid, is going to be reversed by the Court of Appeals. They made the same mistake with Harvey Weinstein.
Yes.
Let's just throw everything in there, and this case will be reversed just like Harvey Weinstein.
No, you're right. And Arthur Idala told me that morning when he called in to say, hey, this just got reversed. It's kind of the same thing. By the way, I stand corrected. Scott Lobato just texted me. He's thrilled to death you're coming. The premiere is June 12th, not June 14th, but June 12th. And he's excited that you're coming. You know, the judge had an opportunity yesterday, too, to declare a mistrial. That's what Trump's attorneys were asking for. Now, you know, that's not going to happen in a million years. Do you think he came close?
Look, this judge, I don't think, based upon everything that he has done from the beginning of this case, has any interest in declaring a mistrial, no matter how bad it is. He doesn't care that down the road he's going to be reversed because he has an agenda. And that agenda is clear. From the prosecutor going from the Department of Justice and a Democrat National Committee appointee all the way down to a local DA's case. So you've got Joe Biden's fingerprints all over this, to the point that his daughter is making millions of dollars from raising money for the Democrats and the Biden and the Biden campaign. So let's not kid each other. This is a kangaroo court. It is an embarrassment. We are looking like a third world country. We're taking an opponent in a presidential race, trying to not only lock him up, but embarrassing him with this stuff and this woman that has no relevance whatsoever. And then the judge says, well, you should have objected more. Those attorneys objected to her testimony. They objected to what she was going to say. And they had a decision to make before the jury. Should they jump up at every question and make the jury think like they're afraid of what's coming out? Of course not.
No. I thought Susan Nicholas did a really good job of cross-examining. But I got to tell you, when you look at the whole landscape, this is the great judge Jeanine Pirro, the big star on the 5 o'clock on Fox News, her own great radio show, 11 a.m. Sundays here. You know, you look at Georgia, for example, Fannie Willis. The only difference between Fannie Willis and Stormy Daniels is Fannie's got a law degree and she's black. That's the only difference. Otherwise, they're both what they are. Then now, the judge says yesterday in the documents case, this ain't going to happen. This thing is nuts. It's not enough information. It's too confusing.
And they withheld the documents, tens of thousands of documents. And the truth is, they want to rush this case to trial. Let me tell you about this Manhattan case. Do you know how many defendants are in jail right now waiting to be tried on a violent felony for years because of the backup from COVID? They are waiting for a trial date. What do? They take a nonviolent crime with a defendant who is not in jail, and they move that up so that it's relevant to the presidential race and it's in everybody's face. Everything about this case is wrong. Everything from the prosecutor, the DA, the judge, the bringing of the case itself, the allowing of the testimony that's come in that is so prejudicial. It is not probative of anything. And it is not relevant. It is irrelevant testimony.
Yeah. No, you're
and
right.
I am right. And I heard one guy on the show the other day, on one of the shows, say, oh, I practiced in front of him. He is a well-seasoned judge. No, he's not.
That was Arthur Idala. That was Arthur Idala on this show. You were listening, yes.
Yeah. I love Arthur, but this judge has no idea what he's doing, and he's so corrupted. He should have recused himself. He will be shown to be a political operative when this thing is over, irrespective of how the verdict comes out. And I am dying to get into that courtroom to take a look at those jurors to see what they're thinking. I heard that one of the jurors, when Stormy Daniels started talking, put her head in her hand.
Sure.
Like, I can't believe I'm hearing this.
No, I'm sure that's true. And I can't wait for you to be in court. I'm considering going when Michael Cohen testifies, but I said on the show, jokingly, I said, you know, when that's a thieving, lying son of a bitch starts to lie about my friend Trump, I'm going to stand up like I did at the State of the Union and scream, says who? Would you believe that got back to the courts and the DA, and now they're giving Noam a tough time about letting me in because they're afraid I'm going to scream out something during the proceedings? I would never do that to Trump, but they're afraid of that. Anyway, more importantly,
all of a sudden they're afraid of things that are outrageous. Why don't you focus on the crime going on
right,
on campuses
right.
in your own city, the violent crime that's going on, the defendants who are out, who are not even held on bail, who continue to re-victimize New Yorkers. These people are such frauds. It's frustrating.
I mean, this poor janitor at Columbia, these bastards, they had him holed up in there. They held him hostage.
They held him hostage. He's afraid and whether or not he's going to be able to keep his job. I mean, this thing is crazy. This has become so politicized. And I'll tell you what, I cannot wait for this election. I cannot wait to see what the American people are going to do, because you send Joe Biden out there and two people show up. I remember the streets were empty when the guy showed up in New York. There were like two people standing outside looking. Donald Trump goes to a bodega. People are falling over each other to see the guy. He's in a construction site. They're like jumping off the cranes. They got to shake his hand and take a selfie with Donald Trump. I mean, these people really want to believe that Joe Biden is the answer to America's problems. Yesterday, he gives a speech, great speech on Israel. Please. The guy is nothing more than a vessel, Sid. All he does is he reads what they tell him. Everything goes through him.
Of course.
But when they catch him, and he's not on teleprompter, he says, I condemn those who don't understand what the Palestinians are going
right,
through.
Right, exactly.
That's what you think, Joe. That's what you think. Don't give me this nonsense that you read on a teleprompter, how you're concerned about anti-Semitism. You are not, because you're not stopping it, because you're the one who's withholding the armaments. You did the same thing in Ukraine. You're a disaster. You're worse than that. You're corrupt.
My God. I can't even add anything to that. That was so brilliant. Well, I mean, I'm serious.
Don't get me started on him. It is jokeable. It is laughable that the Democrats think that this is the man who's going to save America. You don't think that Xi Jinping and Putin and Kim Jong-un. Oh, I got to talk about Kristi Noem. I mean, do you remember years ago, Sid, there was a rape of some woman in some apartment complex. Yeah. And some guy comes out. He's in a red bandana. And he says, hide your wife. Hide your kids. There's a rapist around. Hide everybody. Well, when Kristi Noem shows up, everybody should start yelling, hide your dogs. Hide your goats. Hide whatever animals you have. The woman's nuts. I mean, really.
Yeah, you might.
Give me a break.
No, everybody's, of course. What she did was horrible, horrible. So on the way out, then, you're not convinced. Clearly, I'm with you, that Joe Biden can save the country. What about the city? I think the mayor has picked a perfect time to go vacation in Italy, don't you?
Is he in Italy?
He's going tomorrow for 5 days to sit with the Pope and talk about some nonsense.
Yeah, well, maybe he wants absolution for allowing New Yorkers to be victimized by crime and taxes and the fact that no one is paying attention to the people that are working hard and carrying the financial burden on their backs, because we got a mayor who's so caught up in terms of meeting with his tailor and going out at night. It is disgusting. I said this 2 years ago. Roll your damn sleeves up and get out there and be a cop, because that's why New Yorkers elected you. They wanted someone to take charge. You were the biggest disappointment that this city has seen. But you know what? Even de Blasio wasn't as big a disappointment, because everybody knew he was an idiot. Okay, but this guy, we thought there was some hope. Not a chance.
So let me tell you something, okay? When you cover this story, it'll be on the 5 today, that the mayor is going to Italy tomorrow. We still have protests. We still have illegals, homeless, veterans sleeping on the streets, crime everywhere. You're going to say exactly what you just said to me. And this is why you're the best personality on TV. It was perfect. I mean, word for word, just say it like that, Jenny. Don't change a damn thing.
I never remember what I said. That's the thing. I just get in the moment and I'm like, I'm full throttle. I'm like, what did I say?
Oh, you're great.
Did I really say that?
Oh, you are great. I love you too. Thank you, Janine. Thank you so much.
Take care.
What
Bye-bye.
A great segment. Every Wednesday. We're so lucky to have her. The great Judge Janine Pirro. Emotion, enthusiasm, smart. Does a great job, I should say, on the 5 on Fox News every weekday afternoon, 11 a.m. Sundays, right here on WABC. Quick break. Got one more big guest still to come. He's a congressman out of Missouri making his debut on this program. St. Louis all over the news. We'll talk to Mark Alford coming up. Keep it right here.
Up to the Summit Road overpass just before Route 24. Now, as a result of that, you've got an 8-mile delay behind that accident on the eastbound side of I-78. And on the westbound side, you've got a few miles of slow traffic, too. So obviously a big delay, big problem here on 78, and it doesn't look like it's going to be out of there anytime soon. Eastbound Long Island Expressway at Southwestern Bay Road, there's a crash. You've got another one on the off-ramp to Jericho Turnpike, 2 vehicles at that one. We also have a report of an accident northbound on the Meadowbrook coming up to Hempstead Turnpike in Westchester County. If you're southbound on the New England Thruway, right at the cross Westchester, an accident. Then on the Hutch, on the southbound side of King Street. A 2 mile delay coming into that with an accident in the right lane. Now, if you're in Queens on the Jackie Robinson at Cypress Hills, there's an accident. And then another one on the westbound Belt Parkway now at Erskine Street. And Mass Transit actually in pretty good shape. If you're looking for a luxury vehicle at a great value, consider a certified pre-owned Jaguar sedan or SUV from Ray Catena. Choose from a wide selection at Ray Catena Jaguar of Edison or Jaguar Marlboro and enjoy special limited-time financing on all in-stock models. I'm Joe Nolan with traffic on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
77 WABC.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
No, I get by with a little help from my friends.
We've only just begun to live, white lace and promises, a kiss for luck and we're on our way.
I'm playing the Carpenters. I love this song. We've only just begun. I mean, I played the Psychedelic Furs and U2 and Bruce Springsteen and R.E.M. and the Verve Pipe and all these great rock and roll bands. I like a little Carpenters every now and then. I'm a real man. You like the song, don't you, Diego? They are so good. Karen Carpenter. I'd make the argument that she's top five female voices all time. All right, so the congressman out of Missouri, this is courtesy of Anthony D'Esposito out on Long Island. Mark Alford is about to make his debut here. I wonder if he's related to Steve Alford, the former great Indiana basketball player who won a college championship with Bobby Knight. I don't know.
Wow, man.
Middle of the country. I don't know.
That could be your lead-in question there, big guy.
It's a stupid question.
No.
Okay, then I'll do it.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
Entertaining and informative.
Oh, you're my best friend.
77 WABC.
We'll be in your show plenty because you have a great show and you have big ratings, Sid. I don't even know if you know how good your show is, okay? But you have big ratings and you have a great show and you've been my friend for a long time and I appreciate it.
That's my friend, President Donald Trump. Big rally coming up on Saturday in Wildwood, New Jersey. Scott Lobato is going to open up for President Trump. There's a lot more announcements for Trump that I'm privy to that you're not. So it's just the way it is. I'll be seeing a lot of Trump over the next few weeks, including, I think, going to court when Cohen testifies, not when that filthy animal Stormy Daniels testifies. My God, is she repulsive. Jesus. So wonderful movies, I'm not going to lie to you. Anyway, my next guest is a big-time congressman out of Missouri who was recommended to me by the great Anthony D'Esposito. His name is Mark Alford. Mark, welcome to Sid and Friends in the Morning in New York. How are you, buddy?
I am fantastic, Sid. I love your music. And unlike the Beatles, John Lennon, and Paul McCartney, we are not going to let it be in the U.S. House of Representatives when it comes to anti-Semitism.
That is a great start to the show. That is, you're making your debut, Mark. You just hit a Jack Clark Grand Slam home run for those Cardinal fans out there. Tell me what's going on with Washington. I watch it on Fox News this morning, and it looked like the cops were doing some damage out there. Tell me about that in your state.
Oh, yeah, I think everything's cleared up. Look, there's just unrest all over the U.S. And, you know, there's people coming here to Washington to protest. A lot of them are just unintelligent. They're ignorant. They don't even know what when they say from the river to the sea, they have no idea what they're talking about. And I think that's what's, you know, Sid, we have an infection in America. We have a virus in America. It's not COVID. It is Jew-hating, Hamas-loving, ignorant racist people who don't want the state of Israel to exist, and we've got to weed them out and make sure they are not in charge of our educational institutions and make sure they're not indoctrinating our young people.
That is so true. There's actually two viruses, Mark. There's the one you just spoke about, and of course, Trump derangement syndrome, which is another one. We'll get to that later. But let me get back to the faculty in these universities. What I considered a very, very sad day for New York was 2 days ago when Columbia University, generally considered one of the best, as you know, academic institutions in the country, canceled graduation. They canceled graduation, Mark offered. They gave in to the terrorists. The terrorists won. This was one day after the mayor said, don't worry, the NYPD will protect you guys. Go ahead with your graduation. And part of the reason why is the faculty is right out there with the students. Can we get to the point, Mr. Alford, where you guys in the House pass some legislation where there's no more money going to these schools, not federal money, anytime, any, whether it's public or private, can we cut off the money to these schools?
So that's exactly what we're going to be looking at. Speaker Mike Johnson really launched a housewide probe into all this campus hatred, this anti-Semitism, and it's not going to stop until Jewish students can feel safe on campus and the leadership of these universities are held accountable. That's going to mean defunding some of these colleges and universities, going after the appropriations, going after their tax-exempt status, removing some of the visas from students and teachers who are part of this. This is ridiculous. We've got to get to, back to some semblance of order and respect. I'm all for decent protests and speech on college universities, but this is criminal behavior.
I got to tell you, and look, I'm Jewish, I'll be honest, Mark, so I'm sensitive, and I'm a Brooklyn kid, I think I'm a tough guy, you know the whole thing. From day one, I never considered this a peaceful protest, only because if you're out there and you're supporting Hamas, and all Hamas is progressive Palestinians, Hamas is not Jewish people, they're not Latin people, they're Palestinians. If you're out there supporting that group who murdered children in front of their parents, raped their daughters before they killed the parents, threw live babies in the oven, how can it possibly be a peaceful protest when you're on their side from day one?
Well, it's just basic anti-Semitism. We have the Hamas caucus here in the U.S. House of Representatives, the squad, who feels the same way and are actively saying here in Congress and on the streets around Congress, whipping up support for themselves and for their cause because they don't want Israel to exist. We were just over there last month. We met with Benjamin Netanyahu. We went in these kibbutzes where, as you described, babies were cut out of the mother's womb and put in ovens. It was a horrible place to be, but I wanted to see firsthand. I wanted to talk to the hostage families. One thing is very clear. Hamas must be eradicated. And these code pinkos who are up here in Congress right now following us around with their little cell phones trying to get us to say something stupid, the first thing I ask them is, do you believe that Israel has a right to exist? They will not answer that question. It is very clear that they do not want Israel to exist. They want Jews dead, and they're code pinkos, and we've got to treat them as knuckleheads, ignorant people.
God, I love you. This guy, Justin, make sure you got this guy's number. He's a hero, this Mark Alford. I love him. And, you know, it's AOC. It's, you know, it's Tlaib. It's Ilhan Omar. There's another really bad guy here in New York. His name is Jamal Bowman, also a lowlife. But I know you guys, did you just censure Ilhan Omar again?
I think there's a movement towards that. There are some things that are being said, and several of them had been censured already. And I'm not huge on the censor process because I think you kind of take away the power of that. But some of the things that are being said right now are unacceptable, and they have to be dealt with. We have to make it very clear what we stand for in America. We stand for equal rights. We stand for justice for all, but we don't stand for hate speech and calling for Jews to be treated differently. like they are on college campuses right now. We have to protect our Jewish students. We have to protect our Jewish teachers and faculty on these college campuses. And if there's any speech that's going to go against that, we are firmly against that, and it needs to be dealt with.
See, the issue becomes, Mark, are the Democrats, right? So here's Biden, for example. He makes a speech yesterday, Holocaust Remembrance Day, says all the right things, but yet is stopping shipping arms to Israel, which is a brutal stab in the back for the Israelis. Then you get Chuck Schumer, Jewish guy, Madison High School, Brooklyn, New York, stands in front of the Senate floor and rips apart Bibi Netanyahu. Bernie Sanders has been part of the BDS movement the whole time. So the question becomes, even though it's obvious to decent people, Mark, like you and I, what they're doing on these college campuses, what these Congress ladies are doing is actually grotesque. Will you get bipartisan support with all these bills?
I certainly hope so. I think what the Democrats, the progressive woke liberal bunch, is doing to our nation is despicable. I think what Biden is doing is reprehensible. Stopping a shipment of arms that we have ready to... Sid, we just passed this Israel bill. It took us a couple of months to get it done. They should have had it earlier. But we got it done, and now they're stopping the arms from getting to there so they can finish off Hamas. There are 4,000 of these terrorists that need to be killed that are left over down in Rafah, and we've got to go in there. The IDF has got to go in there and finish them off and get the hostages back. We have sent a letter to President Joe Biden that's going out today asking, what in the hell are you thinking stopping the armaments from getting to Israel after we pass this? They want to play it both ways. They want the Democrat votes in Minnesota and other places where they are having to bow down to the crazies there.
Yep.
who don't want Israel to succeed.
Oh, you're right. Minnesota, Michigan, and more. So, you know, Mark, you're doing all this very serious stuff. But again, your colleagues here in New York, D'Esposito, I'm very close with, Mike Lawler, very close with, Olita, Nicole Malliotakis, all my dear friends and all wonderful people and all great supporters of Israel and the United States. But while you're doing all this stuff, right, you're trying to get money for the border, you got Marjorie Taylor Greene, who is breaking balls every day. I mean, I love Mike Johnson. He was on this show just a week ago. I hung out with Mike Johnson the night of the State of the Union. I love the guy. How much of a nuisance has Marjorie Taylor Greene become?
Well, listen, I'm a freshman with Anthony and Nick LaLota, and we have had our challenges over these 16 months. We've had this distraction of Kevin McCarthy getting fired from the crazy aides who wanted him out, some of it for personal reasons. We've got to get back to doing the business for America, and I'm working with a delegation from New York to get that done. I think the freshmen are very frustrated because we gave up so much to come here. We gave up our careers, our security, our family time to make a sacrifice for America and to come up here. Look, Sid, we've got one mission. We have 6 months. 6 months until the election. We've got to increase our majority in the House. We've got to take back the Senate, and we've got to get Donald J. Trump back in the White House to have a resolute leader behind the resolute desk who can actually walk and talk at the same time.
Fantastic. Our final 60 seconds. I've got a friend. You know him very well. His name is Peter King. He's one of the great congressmen ever out on Long Island, and we've had some epic fights. I mean battles, because it took me about a week to decide no more money to Ukraine. I don't trust Zelensky. That is a crooked country. I have no idea where that money is going. They're getting hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of billion dollars. And in the meantime, Putin, for as dangerous as they think he is, he can't find his own ass with his elbow. He's a mess. That Russian army should be embarrassed. You're laughing, but it's true. What an embarrassment this front has become in Ukraine. No more money to Ukraine. I know you agree.
Absolutely right, Sid. I have voted against the added money for Ukraine. I've done a lot of research on this. The previous Congress appropriated $113 billion, 67 for direct military assistance. This lame, feckless, failing, flailing president that we have in the Oval Office refused to give Zelensky the armaments he needed to win this war early on. The F-16s, the ATACMS missiles, the Abrams tanks, and now they're in a stalemate. Now they want more money. And our voters, Americans, deserve an answer as to how long this is going to take and what does victory look like. Until we get those answers, no more money.
You are a true great American, like a hero. I'm so happy that you made your debut on this show this morning. I hope you keep coming back. I mean that. And you keep fighting for all that's right. Mark Alpert, thank you so much. What a great appearance.
Thank you, Sid. God bless you.
God bless you, too. There he is out of St. Louis, Missouri. I hate the Cardinals, but I love Alpert. I love him. Great job also by Anthony D'Esposito. Hey, Diego, that's great work. Lou's been out for 2 days. And you did a tremendous job. Thank you so much. You're a very talented young kid. Justin Ellick, great job as always. Noam Layton, terrific work. We done. God willing, as my friend Gene would say, we'll all be back at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning for the Thursday edition of Sid and Friends in the Morning. Until then, from all of us to all of you, I'll see you in Red Hook later on tonight. Peace!
Let it be. Let it be.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.